Joe, a pulled pork needs to simmer, and you're going to see why.
Mmm. Damn it, woman. Why is that so good?
This is just what Jessica does. That's her unsung talent. Oh, she's really good with a meat. No, I'm really good with any kind of meat. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Why aren't you always jamming meats in my mouth?
Oh, Joe.
Gross. Joe.
You know, I think it's interesting that all you've seen of me thus far has been the crying and the taking of 7 hours.
Yeah, this is what she's like when she's feeling good.
Well, if you feeling good means sweet meats in my mouth, and you can crash in my office as long as you want.
I'm going to need you to stop talking about meat in your mouth.
Listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find
I'll try. Hi, I'm Abe Froman. Party of three for 12. Is there a problem?
You're Abe Froman.
That's right. I'm Abe Froman.
The sausage king of Chicago.
Yeah, that's me.
Listen, young man. Entre nous, I'm very busy here. Why don't you take the kids and go back to the clubhouse?
Are you suggesting that I'm not who I say I am?
I'm suggesting that you leave before I have to get snooty.
Snooty?
Snotty.
Snotty?
Okay, Abe, let's go.
No, I'm not going anywhere. No, we like to be seated.
Listen, young man, either you take the field trip outside or I'm going to have to call the police.
You're going to call the police on me?
Yes.
Fine. As a matter of fact, I'll call them myself.
Yes. Call the police. This will be a hoot. Here, give me the phone. I have another call.
Huh.
I've had enough of this horsing around. Give me the phone back.
You touch me, I yell rat. There's another phone around here somewhere. Find it.
Wonderful. I weep for the future.
May I speak to Abe Froman?
Let me check the restaurant. Could you describe him for me, please?
Leather jacket. White t-shirt, sweater vest. Nice. Devastatingly handsome.
I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Some pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul. God, get at your boy. You're trying to go far, fall back. I go hard on this lonely road, trying to make it home. Doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some?
I see them long, hard times to come.
Son of a bitch, do you think you can elude us forever, Carlos?
Huh? Wait, you got the wrong guy. My name's Simon. Look, just let me go. There's no need to kill me. I haven't seen your face. No, I didn't see it.
Hey, Carlos. The game's over. Your career as an international terrorist has been well documented.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I sell cars. That's all. Come on. I'm not a terrorist. I'm actually a complete coward. If I ever saw a gun, I'd... Oh, God, oh, please don't kill me. I'm not a spy. I'm nothing. I'm Naval Lent. I have to lie to women to get laid. And I don't score much. I got a little dick. It's pathetic. Oh. Oh. Oh, God. Oh. Would a spy pee himself, huh? Huh? Oh, God. Please. I'm not worth a bullet. Oh, mercy, sir.
Get the fuck out of here, huh? Just beat it. Come on.
No, no. As soon as I turn, you're going to shoot me. You're going to shoot me. You're going to shoot me.
Get lost, dipshit.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land, let my Cameron go.
Boom! Yeah! Yay! Hey! Hey, everyone! It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Hey, I'm the J-Strum. Welcome to the show. We're here from Mulberry, ready to talk film, television, and pop culture once again. Two shows in a row, baby. That's how we roll. Take a month off, do two shows in a row. That's law. It's written in the Book of Nim, baby. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Wait a second. I don't have this Book of Nim in my library.
I've been meaning to ship it to you.
Okay.
But first, to my left is PCZ Steven. Hey. Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Yes, yes, please. No.
Hey, Steven.
Yes, and Steven, keep your mic where it is. You fiddle with it, I'm going to reach through the computer and slap your hand.
Oh, we were talking about that like last week. Steven, you sound great at the beginning of the show. Slowly fade down where he can't hear you.
That's weird. That's
fine. At all.
But also, who's this guy talking on the other end? We don't know. Hey, it's Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing better.
Yes, that's right. How are you doing since the last show? It's been a week. Any kind of like more mending going on? Slowly healing?
Feeling? Slowly. It's very slow, man. I don't know what I'm doing wrong or if it's just the way it works. I'm coming up on the 4-week mark. They say around this time the pain should just sort of go away one day when you wake up, but it's still there. So I can't. It's funny when I walk, I have to hold the left side of my stomach. I can't walk without it, or it feels like this tugging,
right,
pulling, burning pain. So it's like then I go and I sit down in a. I have my computer chair in the kitchen. And I just roll around in there because I can't stand and do anything with one hand. So I sit in the chair and roll back and forth. But even doing that puts a lot of stress on the abdomen.
Right.
And it starts hurting. I can't sit there for more than 10 minutes. So it's like I have a timer going. I go in the kitchen and it's like, okay, you got to get something to eat that has a good amount of protein in it. And you got to get back to your room and on your back before it's too painful. So go. It's just really, it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
Recovery sucks.
All what we need is telepathy and there with telekinesis. You know, like Chronicle. Now that would work.
Yeah, then I could just stay in bed and be now, totally worthless.
Telepathy. I had that wrong. That's mind reading. But I mean telekinesis.
Well,
that's
it can
mean.
Be mind reading too. You could tell somebody what he wants, and they could bring it to him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, I need slaves.
Slave, bring me a Capri Sun, please.
Sugar free. I can't handle sugar. That's one thing I learned this week.
Here's a good question, guys. Do you guys think Sunny D is just too strong?
Sunny D is rancid.
It really is.
Dirty. It's just so thick and like, it's just too thick. It's so gross. And it's got a weird tanginess, like an unnatural tanginess.
Yeah, it tastes gross.
It's
and
kind of chemical.
You know, when Steve, I have another frame shop story when Steven and I were working in the frame shop, Bill. I used to doodle all the time, you know, and I shouldn't have been. I'm on the clock, right? But I doodled all the time. The cardboard is covering everything, so I'm drawing pictures on everything. But on these little Post-its, I would draw little pictures and write a little caption. And one was a guy, like, in the desert. He's all sweaty, and it says, "I'd kill for some Sunny D." The store manager comes by, and she's like, "That's dirty. That's
inappropriate.
That's inappropriate." And I'm like, "Huh? What?" And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, "Wow, how's this dirty, Steven? I don't get it." What does she think Sonny D means? Maybe she thought it was some kind of like term for he wants to get some or something. I don't know. But
I can't even think up any sort of possible euphemism that would connect to Sonny D.
We couldn't either. So, we sit there and then
All I can think of is maybe yellow diarrhea.
Well, you know, the thing is, ever since then, it's been joke. 20 years since then. Yeah. If Sonny D comes up or anything, Steven's like, that's dirty. It's just a joke that won't die, Bill. I think it's dying right now, though.
It's just confusing. I'm going to obsess the whole show trying to come up with a euphemism.
I think our
for.
Old manager, though, wasn't she coke fiend?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
She was a nut job. She's the kind
Did
of person
she have that one long pinky?
Well, she would go, Jason, I need you. And she'd walk up the stairs and go into the office. I go, what? What did she tell me to do? You would never know what the hell she was talking about.
Then she went up and do a line in her office.
And then drink some Sunny D. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. She poured the cocaine and stirred it up in her Sunny D. That's it, man. That'll give you a wicked high, Bill.
That's a different kind of high when you ingest it.
I think she was shooting it up.
It's called breakfast to her. Sunny D with some coke. I don't know what I'm talking about, guys. So, I don't know. So, anyway, guys.
Sweet meats in my mouth.
Huh? Now, Bill, I want to ask you something, because you and I, we had a break there where we didn't get to talk, and Mass Effect 3 came out, which I've never played any of the Mass Effect games, but it sounds cool. But
that's because you're a terrible human being.
I know, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to figure out what all this controversy is about the ending, and now there's more controversy that I read this week where I don't completely understand it because I don't know what they're talking about, but apparently they're going to release
extended cut.
Yeah, or a DLC, downloadable content that expands on the ending that will improve it or something.
I don't know if it would improve it. I think the main problem is these players really invested a lot of time. I mean, I know I have. I played the first one probably three times, the second one three times, and the third one, you know, it seems like you lose some of the control in the ending and you're presented with limited options. And the ending itself, there's three choices. And of all the three choices, I honestly think that it just wasn't that satisfying, and it kind of was like, really? That's it?
Are you in that camp?
Yes and no. I wasn't happy with what choices I was given. Uh-huh. I made a choice, and I had no problem with it.
No, God, no, please.
I really don't know what they expected from the fans with the endings. It's hard to get into it without spoiling things. I don't even understand what they're going to try to do by expanding the ending. If you look online, there's so many theories as to what really happened. So
I'm thinking it's like this: you could either hang yourself and die, blow your brains out with a gun and die, or drop a baby off the Empire State Building. Something like that, where it's like, oh, they're all horrible choices or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And the most, like, I don't know, the easiest choice is kind of a emerging choice. And even it is just kind of like, wait a second.
You didn't do the baby drop off the Empire State Building, did you?
Yeah, it's just so... it's so hard to talk about without spoiling anything. Okay. So I'm just going to say, yeah, the choices were limiting and they weren't exactly what you would want to expect from a game you had invested so much time in.
Right.
You know, got to know these characters so well.
And it's leading up to the ending, is the game pretty awesome?
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed the story, but also, it feels very final. Like, there's a lot of these little moments that you spend with the characters that are kind of like goodbyes.
Wow.
So it's very, it's a good game. I can't disparage it at all. I really enjoyed it, but honestly, where I wanted to play the first and second over and over again. I don't want to play the third one again.
Oh, that's it.
That's a bad. Yeah, I mean, it's
so they screwed it up.
Honestly, I played it on the normal mode, and it felt too easy.
And by the way, didn't the PS3 version have all sorts of problems too?
It really did. The frame dropping was horrible. It would slow down. It would break up. It would freeze. It was bad on the PS3.
Wow.
It's just one of those games I think I expected so much more from. The writing seemed to be less sharp. Everything about it seemed to be less than the first two.
Well, what's weird about the Mass Effect 3 games is you didn't know who the bad guy was, pulling the strings the whole game, and then at the very end they reveal it, and it's...
giant enemy crab.
And it's just so disappointing, right?
You know what? That's not that far from... what happens.
Oh my god, are you serious? There's a giant.
Yeah, you get to this place that it's revealed is actually the key or whatever you want to call it, and you encounter this otherworldly type of being, and then they kind of lay out your choices for you.
Well, I bet you knew how to defeat him though.
Attack its weak point for massive damage.
Yep.
That's what you did. You were like, flip over.
It was disappointing. I really love the series. I've read all the books except the most recent one that was just as big of a cluster F as the game because, that Drew, I always butcher his last name, Carpathian or something.
Yeah, Carpathian or something like that.
Yeah, Carpathian. I don't know. He's the one that wrote the prior Mass Effect books, and was also the head writer on the games, and he left, and I think they tried to pick up the pieces and try to make involving
game?
As a game, and the game is lacking, and the book that someone else wrote so filled with errors, they had to recall it and reprint it.
I read that too. Yeah, I always wondered, what's going on with it?
I don't know what's going on at BioWare. I honestly think they're in over their heads. They've gotten too big for their britches. The Mass Effect 3 was a disappointment. The book was a mess. The Old Republic, they released the new Legacy patch and then almost immediately had to recall it because it borked the game. I think they pulled it down and restored the game to the prior patch and put the servers back up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So
I haven't played in a while, and you know, I was really into it, the Old Republic, and I hit 50, and I don't want to happen. My interest just dropped off.
Well, it's because we don't have a large guild, and all of our guildies eventually stopped playing. It was just me and you.
They didn't even make it to 50. I guess people just lost interest, but it's...
And once you get to 50, it's all about the end game activities.
Right. And see, I think the thing is, and I didn't think I was susceptible to this, but really leveling was keeping me interested. And once I hit that cap, I was like... and I'm spent.
Well, it's about moving the story forward.
Right.
Once you...
and the story stops, it's just not... it's like...
yeah.
I almost thought of it like this, like Grand Theft Auto 4. Love that game. When you're done with Nico's story and you can walk around and go anywhere, I'm just like, I'm not interested. I'm done.
Yeah, there's no reason to finish getting all the achievements because we're not achievement whores.
No, I just completely lose interest. And I'm somewhat interested in... achieving certain things in the game, but it's been hard for me to get back and sit down and do it.
Well, you know, before I went in for surgery, I played a good bit of the War Zones, and if you get in a good group, it can be incredibly addictive.
Okay.
But the problem I found was, you know, I was playing on my brand new laptop, you know, Core i7 processor, a GeForce GTX 580 M, you know, the top of the line, 3 gigabyte RAM in the video, 16 gigabytes of RAM in the...
why aren't you always jamming meats in my mouth?
The game slows down to an absolute crawl whenever there's more than like 5 people in the war zone.
It gets totally
laggy,
right?
And you can't even really concentrate on who you're doing damage to. So that's a problem. If people with, you know, good computers are slowing down to like 5 to 15 frames per second.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen.
So it's, you know, I don't know what's up with BioWare. They really need to get their shit together because they've always been, like, put up on a pedestal.
Right. And, you know, the main problem with the Old Republic is you and I played together a few times, like, where we talked on the program. I forget what it's called. Mumble.
Mumble, yeah.
Walk, but really, the game is very solo-ish.
It is very solo-ish. Right. Star Wars Galaxies was much more friendly to
group
play. We
could go around and go hunting and stuff together and just chill out. We wouldn't even do quests in that game. But in this game, you're always doing quests, and they're very solo-centric. And, you know, we would see each other and wave hi and then go, well, I got to go this way. Well, I got to go this way. Well, see you later. And that's what the game was.
Yeah, and it's sort of limiting because if flashpoints... You got to be crazy if you're at the right level for a certain flashpoint. You have to have four people, and at least one of them has to be a healer. Uh-huh. So it's not like two buddies can just hop into a flashpoint and
also,
do them.
Did you notice,
we tried that and got our asses kicked multiple times.
The very first flashpoint we did, it's very, you know, they got a good production going, cool storyline. You notice they don't pull all the stops like that in the other ones, though.
Nope.
They do it on the first one, and then the other ones are just like...
There was the one that you had to kill some big beast at the end that lacked all the cool story points, and there was... Yeah, it was the first one. What was that called? The Essilus.
Yeah, and that was really cool, and I was like, oh, man, we're in for some fun now, but you go to the other ones, it's just like any other mission. I was like, remember, like, my Jedi said to the Sith guy, like, just know this, you're a dead man, and I was like, oh, man, that's so badass and everything, and... Then you realize that, no, they pulled all the stops for the first one you go on, but they don't keep doing that.
Yeah, because the second one we did was, what, Hammer Station? And we were like, wait a second, there's really no story here.
Yeah, you just kill stuff like any other thing. So I can see how they could expand on it and make it more fun. We just lost – I mean, I just lost interest, and I'm planning on, you know, playing some more, but –
Well, they just gave us 30 days of free time for any – that was another thing that pissed a lot of people off is that anybody that made it to level 50 got 30 days of free time, but anybody that had signed up before and quit didn't. So they're all pissed off. Like, how come these, like, are – and even the wording in the email was, here's free time for our loyal members.
Yeah, I just got that yesterday, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, we get it because we played a character up to 50, but anybody that didn't won't get it.
Yeah, I created a Sith warrior, and I don't even remember his name. I haven't logged on. So what the hell was
it? Mine's Trip.
Trip. Mine, you know, my main character was Jastrom, but what the hell is my... I don't even remember.
I can't remember.
I think it was...
It was a good name, too.
Shit, I can't... I'm blank, but anyway, I'll play it again soon.
I'm having a horrible time with the dark side because
I'm not...
I'm not an evil person.
Uh-huh.
So I was trying to be a good Sith.
Yeah.
And it's just impossible. It's totally impossible.
It's so funny.
If you want to get any of the, like, you know, sometimes there's those, what are those things called that you can attach to yourself that give you extra features? Like, are they holocrons?
Yeah.
You can do that, but a lot of those and some of the equipment... at least the good stuff, you have to like certain dark side level or lights,
really,
you know,
bad.
And you can't access light side stuff. It's just, I want to play it the way I want to play it, but I don't want to be limited.
Yeah, it's funny like how comical it is. There's one early mission where you have to interrogate prisoners, and you can either put them to death, fight them to the death, and if they beat you, that's fine. Or you can let them go because you don't think they're guilty. So I was like, nah, you can go.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
And the main Sith guy, he's like, tell me why I shouldn't kill you right now. It's like, well, what'd I do? You let the guy go free? It makes the whole Empire look bad. What the hell are you doing? And I was just like, oh, I think I'm getting the Sith thing. I should have killed him. Or, you know, I should have at least fought him to the death, give the guy a fair share. But I'm like, nah, get out of here.
Yeah, you have to be an asshole. And I'm just, you know, I can, people think I'm an asshole, but I don't think I am.
Is it true you also gave him a $100 bill? Well, yeah, he didn't have any money. How's he going to get home? You gave him
bus money. Get off planet.
And here's a sack lunch. You know, I know it's a long flight back to your home planet. It's like, what is this Sith guy doing? He's too
Yeah, that was one of the missions. I can't, we're keep going on and on. People don't even care. I'm sure they're going to be dropping out of the chat room. But there's this one Sith mission where you go into like these catacombs kind of areas and you find this mutant, and it turns out that it was like it's some alien that one of the Sith was feeding, and it turns out that it can only eat like Sith, dead Sith, something. And it was like, what do I do to this? You feel bad for the creature. I was like, I'm supposed to kill it, but I feel bad for it. then it's like, but if it lives, it will get more powerful.
Was that thing in the blood pool?
Yeah. No. Oh, okay. That was in, isn't that in the Sith temple, the blood pool thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, John in the chat room was like, said he fed the guy. I just let him go. I couldn't feed him. At least I think I did. Maybe I killed it. I don't know. But it's just I wasn't happy with the choices.
Like when the dickish Sith guys, like there's other students. This guy, it's like you can like fight him or whatever. And I click fight him. Hell yeah, I'm going to kick this guy's ass. He's a dick.
Yeah, I don't like the dicky Sith. The ones that, especially the first guy that's supposedly your trainer and he has that pet Sith. That's supposed to, he's pure blood Sith and supposedly really good and really evil.
Yeah. They're like, he's like, you're a mudblood. And it's like, what is Harry Potter? What the hell's going on?
You're a muggle.
Goddamn muggles are in the Sith palace now. This is an outrage. Yeah, it's a good time. Well, Bill, we have some voicemail. I say we get to it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. The first one is from Adam. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey, Norm. Hey, Mulberry Cars. It's Adam. Adam from the Bay Area. Hey, listen, it's Friday. It's the Friday. Good Friday. Good Friday before Easter. I'm supposed to be dying Easter eggs with my family, but I snuck away. I'm in a coat closet. I'm dying some Easter eggs. We're doing them like pirates, but I snuck away to let you guys know that there's huge news going around the podcast circa. The Hollywood Saloon has finally closed its doors. Not like that's a big surprise to anybody, because I haven't put out a show in God knows how long. But this is our Mulberry chance to finally make something of yourself. Well, no, I didn't mean, like, make something of yourself like that. I just mean, now is the time. You have to strike while the iron is hot. Paint the canvas. Tell your story, walk. It's time to hit the streets with propaganda. You know, in the absence of Hollywood Saloon or Apocalypse Hollywood or whatever it's called, this is your guys' time to shine. So I say you get on Podcast Alley, Podbean, Artistry, iTunes,
what was the
Tumblr,
one?
Friendster, BearShare, whatever it is you got to do.
Okay.
Spread the word. The Mary Mulberry is a big hit. But seriously, I love you guys. I miss you guys. I was ecstatic to hear you guys were doing a show tonight. But I hope this message finds you well. Okay, I gotta go. Otherwise, I'm gonna be in trouble with the family. I'm gonna come back. Okay, bye.
I was gonna say, he's getting louder. They're gonna catch him.
All right, Adam. I'm glad we're doing a show this week, too. I guess he did that before last week's show.
Why are they hiding Easter eggs on Friday?
I know.
There is no Easter Bunny!
Oh, my God. But, yeah, the Hollywood Saloon closed its doors, and that's really sad, you know.
It is, in a way.
It is. Apparently, I don't know. I don't know how much Andy would want us to talk about this or whatever. But I will say this much, that for the longest time, I mean, we started at the same time as the Hollywood Saloon.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy and the other guy, John, who I don't know at all. I know Andy.
No, I don't.
We know Andy. We don't know John.
We know Andy because he, you know, he's friendly and he got in, you know, we just became friends.
Early on in the history of Mulberry, Andy sent us an email And that's how we formed a rapport with him, and we grew close over time and stuff like that.
And in the early days, he did a lot of stuff for our show,
right.
the different characters and calls, and there's times that I actually miss him.
Well, yeah, totally. And yes, we've kind of drifted apart show wise, where we don't get to talk to him anymore. And you know, I barely even get to chat with him that much until recently when this saloon stuff. And I'm like, hey, are you okay? What's going on? And he kind of told me what was going on, and it really sucks. Basically.
And then I said, oh yeah, I thought I said something about that guy being an asshole.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I got in a lot of trouble on the saloon forums for voicing my opinion about a certain individual. So
back in the day, we might as well talk about this because we never do. My philosophy is, you know, why bother talking about people who need to know this stuff? But now I think people should in some ways. I want to talk about it.
Okay.
We used to be, you know, our forums have always not done well. Hardly anyone joins them or whatever, right, Bill?
Uh-huh.
And so Andy said, hey, you can come join Hollywood Saloon Forum. It's really, you know, thriving or whatever. There's a lot of people on it. So I was like, okay, we created a Nowhere Mulberry section. And it did have a lot of people always commenting on stuff, didn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah, I think it did. And I think it brought a lot of people over. Like, who are these guys?
Right, right. And so people would listen to The Saloon, listen to Mulberry. It was cool. We kind of shared some listeners, and that was awesome. And I never talked with John Jansen. He's just not the –
He's a recluse.
Yeah, he's a recluse or whatever. I mean, I don't know the guy, okay? It's hard for me to talk bad about him.
I know his we know his reputation.
Until now, I mean, basically, if you don't know, is – John and Andy had a falling out, kind of. I mean, it's hard to talk about two different sides, but all I know is this: Andy lost control of the Hollywood Saloon. He got locked out of the website. He got locked out of pretty much everything except the forum, I think. I think he still got control of that. But he doesn't have control to his own website that he created because John took it from him somehow. Using fraudulent means, by the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm all for Andy. Here's the thing. You know, I read a lot of people, like, on Facebook and stuff, like, oh, Andy, I hope you guys can work it out. And I'm like, dude, that's not –
it's not that sort of situation. So
I can tell you right now, Stephen was like, Jason, guess what? Try to log into Nowhere Mulberry. I'm like, okay. What? The password's changed. You're like, it's like, what are you doing, Stephen? check your PayPal balance. Wait, I can't get in the password. You bastard! And people are like, man, that's a shame that Steven stole all your money, Jason. But hope you guys do a show this Friday. It's like, I'm not doing a show with that guy. He took all my money, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, I was joking with Andy. I was like, Jansen, he came out with an axe this week. He tried to murder me, but luckily I dove out of the way just in time. Anyway, the cops tasered him and he's in jail. So saloon is over. And then, you know, it's like, aw, dear Andy, man, that's a bummer. Sure hope you guys can work it out and do a show soon. It's like, did you not just read what? He came at me with an axe. He tried to murder me. Oh, I know, but you guys got a long history of all these shows. I really hope you guys work it out. It's like, what are you not understanding? Am I speaking English here? Spreckin' the English, huh?
Yeah, so, you know, I honestly had to rescind my membership of the saloon forum on Facebook because I can't comment on stuff on there.
Bill,
some of the people are such massive assholes and geeks that I it's better if I just don't say anything because I'll just end up getting in trouble and pissing someone off,
you know,
like I did on the actual saloon forum.
Bill and I had a disagreement at that time. I was like, Bill, you can't outright say this. And then I realize now that, I mean, I have no right to tell you what to write, Bill. I don't. But at the time, I was like, Bill, take that down or whatever. But I have no right to do that, and I won't ever do that again. Just wanted you to know that. But
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But when I read when I was reading about Andy's plight and what was going on, it was driving me nuts how people are like, oh man, that sucks. Well, I hope you guys work things out. I'm like, what do you mean work things out? What the hell do you not get about this? The guy, a trusted friend bends you over and F's you up the ass, you're not going to say, oh, it's shame you ass raped me.
Could you do that to me again? Yeah. I enjoyed it so much the first time.
It's a shame he ass raped you, but maybe you guys could do a show this week on one of the new releases in the box office or something. It's like, it's not going to happen. So, you know, that's what I was thinking like that.
Well, but, I've told Andy numerous times, and it's documented, that he should have went off on his own because he was the Hollywood Saloon. Yes. I mean, it was his show.
The creativity, the sound clips and all that, yeah. His sense of perfection. And
there's so many shows that, like, it was strictly shows that Jansen wanted to do that Andy ended up having to fix.
Right.
You know, to even make them usable to release.
Right.
And wasn't it, like, almost difficult for them to make it because he only wanted to do it over a phone?
They would each record on their end.
Right,
or
that's
whatever,
what I'm saying. I mean, it was...
Yeah, that worked that, for him, I guess, but...
But, I mean, that seems... I mean, it just makes... The way we do this here, you know, right. We're all talking together. Those two, you know... It's
a different kind of show, though, than what we do, but...
Yeah.
I know Andy will create a show and he will be able to do all the stuff he wants to creatively and not argue or whatever and stuff like that. I just wish him the best, and it's a shame that the Hollywood Saloon ended or whatever, but hey, maybe it's time to move on. Maybe warning signs are when your trusted partner, hacks into your account and locks you out of it.
Yeah, to try to make a point.
Yeah.
Like, that's what shocked me the most is that was the way he was going to try to make a point to Andy.
It's like, almost like, well, bitch, do you see I'm right? I could totally F your world up. Oh, you're right. I submit.
Oh, I bow down to you. Yeah. You are the master. What was it? He plays chess. I only play checkers.
Yeah, I told Andy his retort should have been, well, guess what? I don't play chess or checkers, bitch. I play Jenga, MF. Bam! Punch him right in the jaw. Doesn't mean anything.
I play cooties, mother effer.
Well, with him hacking into PayPal and changing that, couldn't you do like a stealing somebody's ID?
He's in that process.
He's in the process of that. But as we all know,
I mean,
it takes forever. But
identity theft.
I wish Andy the best, and all I say is F Jansen. I'm going to make a shirt that says F Jansen on it.
Yep. Absolutely.
But it's like, oh, I see you're wearing that shirt, but don't you secretly hope they work it out, Jason? And they do a show on the Kubrick Masterclass?
That's what it says on the back. I hope they work it out. But on the front, it's FG.
You'd say, hey, what's your name? Because I'm going to get another shirt made saying FU.
You know, I'm going to have to ask Andy at what point the Kubrick Masterclass joke became so annoying to him.
Right.
Because, I mean, how many times do you see it and they're all like, oh, in good faith? You know, it's like, do you know how irritating that is?
No.
Do you have any idea?
Don't.
When you actually do a show and you work on this shit and then you just have people asking you for something that will never come?
Right. That's the thing that when you said that thing about Jansen. Basically, Bill called Jansen the C-word on the forum.
Yes, frankly, it's the best swear in the English language because it is so vile.
It's like, whoa! And I was like, you know, just looking around, I was like, he called him what?
And it's because Jansen is this guy that sits on his mighty throne, and everyone below him are like peasants. He just tosses bread down to him. And when Andy got his Xbox and started to really enjoy it and actually get into it a little more because it was freeing and it's fun, Jansen would constantly rag on him or say something about how a show wasn't getting done because Andy was too busy playing Xbox or something.
Right. And that annoyed you and you defended your friend, basically.
It was too much. It's like, you know what? I don't know what point you're trying to make other than publicly humiliate my friend and someone that's supposed to be your friend.
Right.
And I just snapped. I couldn't stand it. Andy and I have always been friendly, and there's times where we're closer than we have been because we've had little tiffs or fallouts or misunderstandings. We both have very strong personalities.
Yeah, and Andy's the kind of guy, he's a very passionate guy that you get pissed off at because he doesn't waver from his opinion or whatever, and
yeah,
not many people do, but sometimes you have to take steps back, but you're still on friendly terms.
Or I say something not meaning to be condescending or rude, but it's taken that way. I have a certain – I think it's my personality. Sometimes people misconstrue what I'm saying or I just say it in a way that's
– early on in you and my friendship on this show, I would have that problem, you know?
Yeah.
The show would end and I'd be like, what did he mean by this? And luckily, you know, I would ask you, dude, what the F did you mean by this or whatever? And we'd work it out, you know?
Yeah, and that's sort of what happened with me and Andy whenever we had a falling out, is that he didn't really get that I – it's hard to describe. Uh-huh. And that he didn't get that I wasn't being malicious.
Right.
He felt I was, and I was just kind of poking him with the, you know, just – friendly joking, but he didn't quite get that.
The most effed up thing about internet relationships is you're not seeing the person right in front of you as you're talking to them.
Exactly.
And that does hurt at times. I mean, chatting, it's just text. Or even like right now, we're talking. I mean, I can't see your face, and I don't see you rolling your eyes while I'm talking, you know, or something like that. But
good thing I don't have my cam on.
Like, whoa, I just saw you roll your eyes. What did you... No, but there's kind of something lost in the translation there, and sometimes people have arguments just based on the fact that they don't have complete control of their conversation. They're not there looking at, like, I can look at Steven, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm totally ruining this conversation. But
no, you're not.
What I'm saying is, like, there's one time after we left Talk Radio X. I don't know if anyone wants to know this, but Bill, we were like, let's create our own radio station, you know, F Antibert and all that. And it was going to be you, me, and Andy, right?
Yes.
We couldn't come up with a name. We disagreed on everything with Andy.
Yep.
I mean, I was like, I can't do it, Bill. And it's funny now when you think back of it, but we just couldn't agree on a name. We'd go back and forth, and I was like, forget it! You know, we didn't know what we were getting into anyway, but it was hilarious how, like, I could see, like, working with Andy like that. It's like, he's a guest on this show, or we're a guest on whatever. We'd never be a guest on Hollywood Saloon. Jansen wouldn't allow it, by the way.
Yeah.
But
there was only one person that Jansen would allow, and it was a guy that kisses his ass so much.
Oh, yeah. Bend over and pucker up, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy, Marty McDMC, and boy, did he let everyone know it in Facebook. Like,
oh, that's because he had an 8-hour conversation with Jansen, and he thinks this entire situation
can be
fixed.
Attention, everyone. I talked to Jansen. He said we could have cake and eat it, too. Oh, my God. What is he doing over there? But it's just like, yeah, dude, talk about douchey. But anyway, I don't know the guy, but he came off very
douchey. No, he's super douchey.
Yeah, he came off very douchey. But hopefully Andy will have us on his new show. I don't know what kind of what he's doing or whatever, but it's going to kick ass, you know. And he's free now, and I wish him nothing but the best. That's what I was getting to.
Yeah,
right, Bill.
Was Jansen keeping him kind of off our show too, or something?
I think our kind of falling out.
I think that Andy was so mentally and creatively exhausted.
That's what I'm saying.
But
I mean,
plus,
you know,
plus things kind of dropped off. Honestly, I lost touch with Andy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The most I've talked to him is this week in a long time. You know, yeah. I've talked to him during Christmas, hey, Merry Christmas, stuff like that, and we'll chat every once in a while on Facebook or whatever. But he's kind of lost touch with him, and I honestly think he was in a creative abyss with his partner.
I don't want to say that he was keeping him from it, but in essence, you know,
he didn't like whenever Andy would come on our show.
It's like,
he made that known.
It's like an artist
that's kind of
who
what I was,
is
you know,
under
like,
a contract with a horrible studio.
It's like,
you know,
if you go on somebody else's show, you're going to get crap from the other guy.
Right. Kelly, I think it was the Smallville Endgame episode. That was it. And he's like, I can't do it anymore.
I don't know how many people know this, but that Smallville Endgame episode was 100% Jansen.
Oh my
Andy
God.
Hated doing that.
America!
Is that Jansen?
Yes.
And wow. what, you know, to be such a pretentious asshole and to love Smallville, one of the worst written shows on television? Are you honestly out of your effing mind?
God bless America.
Yes, God bless America. Well, you know, he's allowed to like Smallville or whatever.
No, he's
but
not.
No, wait. But we're allowed to make fun of him for it, is what I was going to say, right?
Okay, yeah.
We can like it for how bad it was.
Yes. I loved making fun of Smallville, and I miss it for that reason.
I can honestly say I don't miss it.
It's funny, like, you read on forums or whatever, like, you comment on something that was really bad in the episode. People are like, well, why don't you stop watching it then if you don't like it so much? I was like, I really pissed off the
that's
Smallville
my favorite
fanboy.
Defense ever.
That's the best defense ever. Like, well, if you don't like it, don't watch it. No one's making you. It's like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, go. Why don't you just enjoy it and let us rag on it?
It's like, I'm going to pimp slap you. You know what I'm saying?
Make me some money, bitch.
All right. Let's play another voicemail. We've got a Brothers Row voicemail. Yay. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry boys. We got the Brothers Row here. Patrick.
And Pierce from Indiana.
We loved the show last week. I was so pumped to see a new episode go up. It seems like whenever you guys come back from a big hiatus, that first show back, you're on fire. Everybody's limber and...
Especially the opener with the buddy intercut with the Prometheus, bwom.
That was awesome editing, Jason.
That was real good stuff.
Love that.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so to start off, I saw John Carter and The Hunger Games in theaters, just like
Wait,
you guys
did. You see John Carter or John Carter of Mars?
John Carter, I believe.
John Carter, okay.
Yeah. John Carter, I really liked. I'm not sure if I liked it as much as you guys, but... I thought it was pretty good, and I think that there's a ton of potential for a sequel. I know it did really well overseas, actually. I'm not sure if it did well enough to, you know, break even or whatever, but man, I would love a sequel to that movie.
What did I tell you, though, that I read earlier in the week that Disney said that, yeah, on John Carter, we're taking a $200 million loss.
That's just not true, because I went to the Wikipedia page, and their budget, you know, without, what's it called?
Marketing,
it was $250 million, but they've already made back like $245 million.
I don't, and then like DVD sales and TV rights. I think that's a big, that's a big sob story. I think we can go ahead and file that under the
Disney. Worldwide, it's made $264 million.
And then the Hunger Games, I almost agreed exactly with what you guys said. It had a lot of potential. The acting was really good in it. I love Jennifer Lawrence. She is a cutie patootie. But the director, yeah, I don't give a crap that he's not signed on to do the sequel.
I think it's Gary Ross.
Gary Ross, yeah, that's not a loss for that franchise at all. So yeah, maybe the sequel will be just as good as the first one.
Do you think they'll make a sequel?
Yeah. Well,
I see this thing kind of happening the same way as like Twilight and Harry Potter, where they get different directors for, like, all of them.
I don't really get that.
I don't really understand that either.
There's only three of them.
You know, and then there's not really, like, a coherent style or, like, filmmaking grammar to it or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They should just get Paul W. Anderson to do them all. I think he'd be really good. He's got a lot
I think
of,
he'd be better than Gary Ross.
That would kick some ass.
All right.
I wanted to tell you, right now, I'm watching... Rockafire Explosion, and oh my gosh, yes. I'd heard about it before. I heard really good things about it, but just you guys talking about it, I wanted to see it because I knew it would just be a huge nostalgia trip, and I love it. And I love it because it's so specific. It's people who are obsessed with an animal band, a robotic animal band from Showbiz Pizza from the 80s. Is it the band from Chuck E. Cheese? No, that band sucks. It's the one from Showbiz Pizza. They sold out when they did the Chuck E. Cheese band. I love that, and I love that they're so passionate about, like, just this one microcosm that's so specific, and, like, I can't even imagine how much it would cost to buy one of those. I can't believe that guy has one in his shed out back. I mean, it's great, and it really reminds me of, I know you guys have seen King of Kong, but I was curious to know if you guys have seen Chasing Ghosts. It reminds me so much of that.
Hell yes.
Another great, like, nostalgic 80s documentary about,
yeah, it's awesome.
You know, like, the arcade scene and just, like, a really specific piece of pop culture.
All right, so this is a long message here. So we'll close it out with What is your guys' most anticipated movie of the year?
Because it's been pretty lousy so far, but there's so many great things coming up, like Avengers, the new Batman, the new Pixar.
And then I think between me and Patrick, we agree that the one, and even The Hobbit, but the one
the
we're
Hobbit,
looking...
The new Tarantino, Django Unchained.
Yeah, the one we're looking forward
Django
to the most
Unchained.
Is, what is it called?
Skyfall.
Yeah, Skyfall, the new Bond. And I actually think the thing that set me over with for that was, Jason, you might agree with me here. I know you're really into movie scores, was I saw that Thomas Newman is doing the score, and instantly I bought the soundtrack to WALL-E, and I've been listening to that nonstop, and I just can't wait to hear the music for that movie, because I know it's going to be great. And Sam Mendes, he's awesome. American Beauty and Road to Perdition, they're great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're both really looking forward to that, so...
And
what
I think that one, like, I think that one, everybody's like so stoked on. Probably The Hobbit and The Batman are like the two biggest movies coming out this year. You know, like in November when Bond comes out, I think it's just going to really surprise everybody. You know, Quantum of Solace wasn't that hot, and I think this one is just going to blow people over. So hopefully it lives up to expectations.
Let's all right, hope. Guys. I think that's all we've got. Sorry for rambling a little bit.
Hey, we didn't talk about Star Wars this week.
Yeah, well, we just did.
Oh.
All right. So can't wait for the next show, and we'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. That was awesome. And, Bill, I'm looking forward to a movie that they didn't name. It's not The Avengers. It's not Skyfall. It's not Batman. It's Looper.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
The trailer just came out yesterday, I believe, online.
I'm a huge Rian Johnson fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
I
the guy
Brick.
Just knows how to operate a camera and make a film that is totally immersive and engaging.
And I'm wondering, like, I was a little hard on the second movie, the
Brothers Bloom?
The Brothers Bloom. I really liked it up until the ending.
Oh, that ending screwed with my head. I loved it. It was the perfect con.
And I realized that... It's because, you know, I can't not like a movie just because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And it's hard to do that sometimes. But it's a very well-made film.
Yeah. And he also directed one of the best episodes of Terriers.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. That's like one shocking moment in there. But Brick is excellent, too. And Looper looks really awesome. It's... basically, you know, it tells it all in the trailer, so I assume that there's more to come in the movie. That
oh yeah,
you know,
he probably cut the trailer himself,
right? Because basically, it's like the Jogo Levitt, everyone's favorite Jogo Levitt. He waits there with a gun, and from the future, they send mobsters or something. They send people to where he is in time. And he kills them and disposes of the body.
What's cool about it, though, is they strap his payment to the person that's getting sent back for him to kill.
Right.
They strap the bars of gold to him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's just so many cool ideas there. It's awesome. It's so geeky. And Rian Johnson's, I guess, a really friendly, easy-to-talk-to guy because he'll do any one show.
He has done Radio Dan Show.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
I was telling Andy that he should get him for what he's going to do in the future.
Totally.
Because, I mean, the guy is he's an artiste. I love his films.
But I'm looking forward to Looper. And, you know, the stuff like Skyfall, Avengers, Batman, there's too many to get excited about.
You know, I'm honestly so burnt out on James Bond films. After Quantum of Solace,
honestly,
like I think Casino Royale is so much fun.
Yeah, it is, but it's a wait and see. I don't think I was excited at all about Casino Royale. Then I saw it and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. I can't get excited about it, but Skyfall is a horrible title, you guys. Come on.
Yeah. I think the movie I'm most excited about is Brave, the Pixar film. It just looks so charming and so cool, and I just love the art style and the idea of this, like, Irish adventure. You know, it just seems so much fun.
Totally.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, we've got another voicemail, Bill. This one from Zach.
And Zach Attack.
And he never mentions Footloose. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry. This is Zach from Memphis, Tennessee. Big, huge fan, first-time caller. Here's my piece. if we live in a world where Lockout has a lower percentage than the Three Stooges on Rotten Tomatoes, there's something wrong with humanity. I mean, I saw the Three Musketeers last night. Do we really need a Three Musketeers movie with the line, "Your horse just took a dump"? I didn't like it, but at the same time,
is that proper English? Is that Victorian English?
Of course, I got to give my respects to the late great Hollywood Saloon. I have my choice words for John Jansen, but that's not going to do any good. I think Andy has been had a great podcast, and he turned out a tremendous library of shows. He showed me that I wasn't the only one who thought about movies the way I do, and that got me through a lot. It's just a darn shame, and I wish Andy the best. I'm a week late, but I'm also happy that Bill is safe and sound back home in Mulberry. Hospital sounded like hell. To quote the poster for the Three Stooges, all pain, no brain. Well, guys, guess about that ends it for me. I'm going to go look for Avengers Midnight tickets. I'm out.
You know, I'll say this. The first time I ever saw, thank you, Zach, by the way, the first time I ever saw the Three Stooges trailer, I was like, oh, my God. But it wasn't because I thought, like, they're destroying the history, the legacy of the Stooges. It wasn't that. It just looked awful.
Yeah.
But now, recently, I'm like, now what the hell? I'll see it.
I loved the Three Stooges. When I was a kid, I would watch. I had so many VHS tapes of them, and they would crack me up because I always loved the slapsticky stupidness of them.
I loved it too.
They're not like. I wouldn't get offended if, you know, by this film, like, oh my God, what are they doing to
the legacy
Stooges?
Of the Stooges? They're destroying it. I'm a little disappointed. Shemp isn't in it, but maybe he shows up in the movie sometime.
I bet he does.
Mo, hey Larry. Hey Mo. Hey Larry. I always loved Shemp and that horrible hair.
I'll tell you right now, I will watch it whenever it is available to rent. Because I did giggle once or twice at a few moments in the trailer.
Well, it's also got, it's the Farrelly brothers, right?
Yeah.
So, come on, it's got to have some laughs in there, right?
Yeah, the only one on that really made me cringe during the trailer was the Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like... Oh, why'd they put this girl in? You know, it's like...
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize she was...
Yeah, but I think the Farrelly brothers are doing that in a way that makes fun of the Jersey Shore.
I did.
But
there's
it was a cringe-inducing moment on screen to watch that. You know,
Sofia Vergara, she goes, I can't believe those three idiots are here. And he goes, the Kardashians? The other guy? So it's got some, you know, jokes that are topical, I guess, you know?
I brought up Box Office Mojo just because I was... intrigued by the Pearson, is it Patrick? The Rowe brothers?
Yes.
Yeah, they, John Carter has made so far $264 million, and the production budget was $250 million, so they're already made up
of
the money.
All
so
tidied
it's
up?
Bullshit if they don't give us a sequel.
Bullshit. It's like they made, like, $16 million profit or something?
Hey, it's something.
It's like, yeah, let's go ahead and put it into production. But, you know, right now there's a comic book that looks really cool, a continuation of the story, I guess.
Oh, shit, really?
And it looks pretty cool. I was looking on comic book resources and looking at pictures of it, and the art's pretty good, too. So I had to check that out.
Nice.
Now, guys, we have a voicemail from Mike, and Mike, he's got a voicemail here, and I just want us to check it out. So, what the hell am I talking about? Just play it. God.
It's Mike from Ireland. I really enjoyed the show last week. First things first, I was absolutely shocked to hear Bill's story. That's absolutely terrible stuff. I thought the health system in Ireland was bad, but the public health system was bad. But that just sounds like an absolutely horrific experience. It just doesn't sound like anybody talks to anybody and nobody knows, nobody reads charts.
No, I...
just sounds putting me through misery.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right, basically. Hopefully, one week on, Bill's feeling a lot better. Also, it's interesting to hear that... Bill comes... Sorry, I'm not laughing at Bill. I actually think during the episode, Bill actually kind of picked up a lot and was a lot brighter by the end of it as well, which is really, really cool. Take care, buddy. But it was really funny to hear Stephen, who sounds like he's gone through some sort of a miracle cure.
What the hell is that?
He's breathing. No predator sounds and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, wow. So I'm actually thinking maybe I should go and get checked for a CPAP because I got
Bill,
a lot of.
Do you have like one Tic Tac left?
Those issues.
No, I'm not doing a thing.
Absolutely no other reason than I have like loads of nervous energy, and this is what I do. I pace. I pace and I talk and I pace and I listen to music and stuff like that. But I know I probably sound very sedate normally on, I think I was even lying down when I left my last voicemail. But this would be more normal, Mike, you know, walking around and so on. But it was really strange, like, to hear, you know, Bill was down and Stephen sounded like he'd gone through some sort of bionic lung replacement or something. hopefully he'll talk a bit more now. Stephen?
I'll try to.
He's probably not there anyway. Yes.
I can't pay attention to this. What the hell is that?
I was thinking, during my kind of, time
child
away when you didn't have any shows, and I was listening to a lot of old shows, I became fascinated with these kind of guys that kind of call in once. And the one kind of obvious thing that you can see about guys that call in once ever is that they say they're going to send in a series of voicemails about something, and then they never do. But the guy that really fascinated me was called Neil, I think. He delivered a kind of near incomprehensible voicemail about himself and the wife making cookies. Cookies. When his mother was minding his child, and his mother came back and all this crazy, crazy sounding stuff. I didn't really understand it, but then he said he was going to do a weekly boob review from TV, and he launched into his first boob review, and he's going to make this a weekly thing. That didn't happen. Or
I was thinking about it just a while ago.
Maybe
about.
It does happen. Maybe he's been actually sending stacks to them for the last year, and Jason's just like, okay. I'll just put these in this folder.
I'm stockpiling.
You better hope
Heather
never finds that folder, Jason. But yeah. Anyway, you're talking about TV? There's still a bunch of things in TV to talk about. Even though they're probably not the kind of shows that you can talk about. You know, like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. They're kind of like, it's good. Yeah, entertaining, very well made drama. But you're right, you said it years ago. There's kind of not much you can say about entertaining, well made drama, you know?
Is that in the voicemail?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And there's no mystery, and you just watch it. And
it's not
great.
You, Stephen, right?
It's over. I really like Game of Thrones. I think it's really well done. I'm not quite as hyper about it as other people. I think that it's a bit transparent that they're kind of, you know, they use like sex scenes just purely as a, Littlefinger's giving a big speech explaining stuff. We better do something to keep people attentive.
It's throwing
that prostitute character again. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm not criticizing it. It's really good. But it's just, it does feel a bit,
pause it or stop it.
I can't quite describe it. It just feels like it seems very calculated. That's what the word I'm looking for. Calculated. I know everything in TV and movies and all that is calculated, but it just feels a bit like, well, we have to have 2 sex scenes per episode. Something really kind of loose and fun about it in Spartacus and crazy, you know? It just feels
He's
a bit perfunctory or something.
Right?
Yes,
well, it's
is.
A HBO series, so we've got to throw in a few, you know, a bit of swearing, a bit of sex, you know. That's all. It doesn't seem to come from the actual drama itself. And I've read the books, I know what they're like, but it's not.
My God.
It doesn't actually feel like that. Anyway, I'm going nowhere with this, basically, but I just wanted to say it. I'm going nowhere.
It's driving me crazy, Mike. What the hell is going on in Ireland?
That's the core of my.
Apparently,
my
they all have one Tic Tac in their
cookie. We're not going to dwell on
that.
It's
one orange Tic Tac.
You know, there is good TV there.
There's stuff to talk about.
I do feel kind of sorry that I didn't get to hear, you know, you talking about Spartacus this season. It was an interesting kind of evolution from that kind of, not sure, from the start to kind of really getting into the swing of it and really getting going by the end and kind of paying off. You know, it worked out really well, I think, at the end of the day.
Off.
You know, it is a bit of a shame that John Hannah didn't come back as a ghost character, Battlestar Galactica style.
Is there someone like tapping at your window? Like that.
Would have been pretty fun.
Are they throwing rocks?
He's probably got better things to do.
Open the door!
Oh, wait, no, I checked IMDb. He hasn't. But still, you know, really fun ham actor, John Hammond. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to stop talking. Again, there's kind of slight frantiness to my me today. I've just had some coffee.
Happy place.
I've been doing some really, really dull video editing and tape transferring. It's just incredibly boring, basically. So
he's cutting some
I'm going to leave it there. Have a good show, guys. Look forward to listening to it. Bye-bye.
Okay, I just listened back to that voicemail just before I sent it today, because I actually recorded it yesterday, and I didn't realize there seemed to be some sort of chipmunk trying to eat it. It was actually quite possibly the most annoying voice in a sort of long history of crazy air conditioner humming, you know, forklift background sounds. That quite possibly is the most irritating voicemail ever sent in to Warren Mulberry. You know, an army of chipmunks and either gnawing on the cables or something. It's actually my headphones. I had my headphones still stuck in my phone when I recorded it, and one of the cable was obviously moving the mic jack or something like that. I don't know. It was making that really irritating noise. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Anyway, bye, guys.
Thank you, Mike. No, that wasn't irritating at all.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, on edge.
I was blaming Bill and Steven for that, Mike. You should feel horrible. I was like, Steven, what are you doing over there? And, Bill, I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet, but every episode is on HBO Go or whatever, or HBO On Demand. I need to watch it, right?
You know what I discovered that really pissed me off? I don't know what HBO's problem is, but I can get HBO Go on my computer, and it's supposedly supposed to be available on the Xbox, but not if you have DirecTV.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell? Because I wanted to watch the second episode without having to download it.
Right.
And I couldn't because Xbox doesn't allow DirecTV members to do it.
But it does. I have HBO On Demand on DirecTV, the DirecTV box, and I can get it that way. But I can't, like, watch it on my Roku or the Xbox, though.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I wanted to set up the Roku to do HBO Go, and I couldn't.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
What's with this DirecTV bullshit?
I don't know.
Why are people singling them out? If you have Dish, you can do it.
Right. It's almost like, but also like Game of Thrones, it's one of those shows like Mad Men just came back. Everyone's all buzzing about Mad Men. That I'm in on. I'm watching that show. Game of Thrones, I'm like, oh man, I'm not caught up in that. I don't know what's going on. So people are like, oh, no spoil. Oh, can you believe what happened? And I'm like, damn it. What are they talking about? It's like I haven't watched Breaking Bad yet either. And everyone's like, oh, that finale. Oh my God. And I'm like, I feel so. I gotta watch those shows so I can be in on it, Bill. I feel left behind.
Schizopolis in the chat room said that he has DirecTV and watches HBO Go on the Xbox. So maybe it's just Roku that I was confused with.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or yeah, he's
Game
lying.
Of Thrones is an okay show. Game of Thrones is it's fun and it's like Mike said though, the sex scenes seem kind of forced in that they create these situations that they can crowbar in a good deal of dialogue. Yeah, just like, to keep you interested.
Hey, while we're doing this, might as well talk about our plans later, something like that.
Yeah, it's like the last episode, they had this guy named Littlefinger peeking in, who runs a brothel, peeking in on a sex scene just so he could, like, expound this large piece of dialogue, just monologuing.
Why are you always jamming meats in my mouth?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good show, but it's got its issues.
One thing I think that's neat is that HBO is showing a show like that. That's cool.
I'm going to need you to stop talking about meat in your mouth.
But because it's like anytime there's – I have this kind of like Walking Dead. Anytime there's a zombie show on television, awesome. Anytime there's a show a space show on TV, I think that's awesome. Whenever there's a show about people with powers, that rocks. I think there should always be something like that around. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Shows about vampires, too many of them, you know?
Yeah, way too many.
But it's like whenever there's different genres going on, I think it's good for television.
Right. Yes.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't.
Options.
I know. Eventually, there's going to be another zombie show on. It'll be cool to see how they do that. I know the MTV had some zombie comedic show. I don't count that, okay? Just so you know. All right, we have one final short voicemail, Bill, from Sean! Sean! Oh, Sean! Shawnee, Shawnee, Shawnee. And please don't have a sound in there. Don't have a tic-tac.
God.
One last tic-tac. You keep rattling around.
He had a paint can. He was going to spray paint something.
Oh, you know what? You know what they have in those spray paint cans?
Teeth.
What kind
Baby
of teeth?
Teeth?
Baby teeth. Have you ever heard that urban legend, Bill?
No, never.
Spray paint cans have baby teeth in them.
Those are some seriously heavy baby teeth, then.
All right, let's check this out. And that's disturbing, too,
by
the way.
I just saw that on a show last night.
It was on Monster Man.
Oh, is that Wee Man thing?
Yeah, he was shaking a spray can. He goes, you know what that sound is?
He was talking to his daughter, yeah.
And he goes, the Tooth Fairy sells baby teeth to paint companies. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
That's really effed
up. I've heard that a long time
ago. Apparently it is like an urban legend thing. That's crazy.
Absurd. The ball bearing in it is so heavy. When you shake it, how can then ever be baby teeth? That is,
I don't know.
That's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
All right, let's check out this Sean voicemail.
Hey, Mulberry guys, it's Sean here in Los Angeles. I was so happy to hear you guys' show last week and see that you were back. Listened to it earlier this week, and I love the show. Even though there was no news or DVDs, I was missing the news because without the Bill's news section, I don't know what's going on in the world, all the important stories. And without the DVD section, I can't hear Jason and Steven sing. And I've been missing that for months.
Oh,
whenever those come back, that'll be great. But even without them, the show was great. I could tell that you all missed the show and that you enjoyed being back and just talking to each other and talking about TV and everything. I know it's been said on the Facebook group, but the Prometheus Cake Boss intro was fantastic. I love that that's what the show started with because once it hit, because I remember Jason posting stuff about it on Facebook and Twitter when the Prometheus trailer came out. He was kind of poking fun at the whole wah thing sound that comes up in trailers nowadays. And so when it came up at the start of the show, I just knew you're going to do something great with it. And then I heard Buddy, and it was awesome. Classic Noir and Mulberry. And, Bill, glad to hear you're doing better. I forgive you for making fun of me for going to WrestleMania. Whatever. it's cool. And hearing you guys talk about shows again, which is great.
You're a grown-ass man. What are you doing going to that thing?
This season, because I used to watch it on Netflix and I don't have Stars. And they took all the Stars stuff off of Netflix. So I'll have to find some other way to see it a little later.
Sucks.
But I agree with Jason that the second part of the Walking Dead season after they came back from hiatus was fantastic. Like the episodes were really good. Pretty well written apart from Lori, who I agree is just a nutbag. She's just wacko, crazy lady. But entertaining because of just rolling my eyes and just shaking my head at all the stupid things she says and does on the show. And so I'm excited to see what happens to her next season. Hopefully that Rickocracy that Rick established at the end of the season is going to come to play. And he's going to put his foot down with his wife and be like, no. But we'll see about that. Anyway, I think that's about it. Like I said, the show was great. It was great hearing all the voicemails last week from all the listeners. I'm sorry I didn't call in. I feel very ashamed. I actually planned not to call in because I didn't get a chance to re-listen to the most recent episode before last episode, and I didn't have much to say besides hi. And I figured I'd send you a better voicemail this week after I had just listened to your new show, and it was all fresh in my mind, and hopefully this one will be better. So I'm not sure if you guys are doing the show tonight. If you do, I will be listening to it when you release it next week. And if not, I'll listen to whenever the next one comes out, eagerly awaiting it. All right. Yeah, good to have you guys back. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, Sean. And that Prometheus idea I had in my head for like a month. I was like, I had it like bookmarked, that trailer. I was like, I'm going to do something with that. I'm going to do something. And I was like, Cake Boss, I'm going to put Cake Boss clips in that, you know, or.
But they should use that on TLC for the introduction of the next season, like teasing it.
Yeah, totally. That would be awesome. But what we.
You got to get out of the way.
Go to the side. Yeah. That's all right. Did you like that? Did you guys notice I put Miss, what was that bitch's name? The cross-dressing man, Miss Richfield, going, oh my word.
That was my favorite.
It was like, get in truck. And it's like, bomb. Oh my word. Bomb. Yeah, that was fun. Sometimes the idea comes through and other times I abandon it like, I can't figure this out. And I just forget about it. But, Sean, thank you so much for that. Walking Dead. I think they should make Lori even more nuts. Like, she starts putting foil hats on. They're like,
yeah,
dude, what is Lori doing? The only way you can keep the walkers away if you wear these foil hats. You're all fools for not wearing them like
I am.
I'm
invisible to them.
And then at the end, Bill, season finale, season three, it's all for you, Carl. Jumps, noose around neck, just like in The Omen. How great would that be?
That would have to win an Emmy.
I would, like, send like, $9 to AMC. What is this for? It was worth the admission price. And they're like, the show's free. It's on TV. What's this guy doing? But, you know, I'd pay for it.
What I want to understand is why they decided. I mean, she wasn't that annoying in the comics. I mean, she was slightly annoying.
She's
but
pretty annoying. She was.
I guess.
I can remember her annoying. Like, she's like, I hate Rick. You know, like, oh!
Yeah.
But it's funny, in the comic books, everyone has that look where, like, ah, look of shock on their face. So it's like they overreact to everything. And so it's just funny. I'm just like, God, stop overreacting to everything. Can't they just draw their faces like, eh, whatever. But I guess you can't do that. All right, guys, that's our voicemail. We're going to do a one-minute entertainment segment. Bill, let's do it. Entertainment! All right, Three Stooges came out. Will you guys see it? Cable or DVD or theater? Go.
Cable.
Cable.
All right, Bully, the documentary about bullies. What do you think?
Don't care.
Video on demand? Cable. Cable?
HBO? Don't care.
I mean, I like the idea
it, you know.
Of.
I'm not going to go out of my way.
There's been such, like, hubbub about.
Yeah, I know. It's like when people won't shut up about something, you're like, ah, shut up! You know what I mean?
Yeah, and honestly, I think what ended up happening was the Weinsteins, after they had enough publicity, decided, oh, well, you know what we'll do? We'll just bleep the swears.
Yeah, I was asking him why they didn't do that in the first place to begin with. But Harvey
because
Weinstein,
they wanted the publicity.
He's such a press whore, and he knows how to play that game.
Yep.
You know? But it is an important thing. I think bullying does suck, and all bullies must die.
I was bullied whenever I was in elementary school because I had three older sisters that were popular. And so the people that didn't like them would pick on me.
Yeah.
I was beat up on the school bus going to school one morning. I was, you know, it just, it's the way it works, and bullying has always been a problem.
I was bullied at times, but not consistently. But mm-hmm. I had this friend of mine, Sean Fairbairn, redhead in California, Redondo Beach. We went to Adams Middle School with the Rondi, by the way. He had red hair. Older kids, like eighth graders or whatever, they come over and they start slapping him in the head real hard. They go, put the fire out, put the fire out. And they would like, oh, he would be, they would be slapping him so hard on the head, and I'd be standing there like wincing because just seeing what my friend was going through. Dude,
just
we're like so dwarfed by these guys, seemed like they were adults or something, just beating the shit out of his head. And it was like a funny joke. And there was, I'd be horrified for the poor guy, and he'd just kind of laugh, like act like it was no big deal. And then, like, we'd be talking or something the next day, and I'd see him coming, dude. And they'd be like, put the fire out! And they'd do it again to him, like, consistently, all the time. And I could honestly understand why he would bring a gun to school and, either kill them or kill himself or something. Because that's a lot of shit to go through, you know?
Yeah.
That's some heavy shit.
Almost on a daily basis like that.
Yeah, daily basis. And, you know, there's times where I'd get, like, someone would mess with you and be like, dude, what the hell's going on here? But to get it consistently, it's pretty hardcore. Yeah. And I just think bullying does suck. And Norm Mulberry stance against bullying, right?
Yes.
Harvey Weinstein, he's got big sausage fingers. That's all I know.
Ow, 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 ow.
Uh-oh.
The laugh made me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. Okay. Ah, that hurt.
Okay, here's what I want to ask you guys about, because this wasn't even on my radar. Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Interested?
No.
I honestly could give a shit again, because everyone is so freaking gaga over it. It's like, just calm down. Yes, it's written by Joss Whedon. Yes, it's directed by Drew Goddard. I understand that those people were involved with Buffy. But calm down. It's just a movie. All
right? Right.
It's so irritating to me.
All I know is this. The guy from Dollhouse is in it, and that guy's hilarious. Topher.
Yeah, Topher?
Yeah, Topher's in it.
All right, I'll just watch it, but I'm not going to the theater to see it.
Right.
Kind of a no-brainer.
That guy's gold, man. But, okay, last movie, Lockout, Guy Pearce. Let's go see it, Bill.
I'd like to go see it.
I want to see it so badly, yeah.
I don't care how bad the movie is. It takes place in space, you guys. It's a space movie. I'm going to go see it.
No, it can't be bad. It's... maybe like tongue-in-cheek.
If it's hovering around 50% like John Carter, that means it's a good movie. Because I see John Carter that 50% rotten. I'm like, dude, I like the movie. You know what that tells me? The scale doesn't matter at all. You got to see the movie yourself, right? The only time you have to be like, I don't know, is when it's like hovering around the 1% to 2% like Jack and Jill or something.
Here's the big question. Is it PG-13 or R?
I think it's R, but I don't quote me on that.
Then I'll definitely go see it.
I'm totally pulling that out of my ass. I have no idea, but. All right, guys, let's do What's on our TiVo. We're going to talk about one show and then take a break, Bill, because I got to pee really bad.
All right.
What's on our TiVo? Oh, and I forgot to mention, Bill, people should check out Goon on Video On Demand.
Yes.
Starring Sean Wayne Scott, about an enforcer in hockey, a goon in hockey. Excellent movie. And it's so, you know what? Sean William Scott was on Conan last week, and he plugged American Reunion, and he never mentioned Goon. I was like, why? Why didn't he mention Goon? It's a great
movie. He was so good in it, too. Just the way he plays this kind of innocent yet dim guy who's.
He's got a good heart, but what he's great at is punching people. He's just good at it. And he can take a hit, too.
I loved the way they dealt with the Sabretooth in the film. Liev Schreiber. Just, the aging goon.
He's
excellent
in that.
Yeah, and that whole last hockey match and the fight.
My armpits were sweaty. I loved
it. Yeah, it was so well done.
Goon, check it out. Be there.
Sounds good.
Yeah, don't go see American Reunion. Apparently no one did last week anyway. But all right, I want to talk about one show, and it's called Celebrity Apprentice, before we go and use the restroom. Right, Bill? And this is basically a Lisa Lampanelli fest where either she... It is funny that she calls anybody out, but also she's so loud and obnoxious. She's really annoying.
Isn't she?
Oh, my God. She is. She's insane, and she drops so many F-bombs. At the same time, it's kind of entertaining, but I would never want to be in the room with her. Would you?
No.
Do you think her comedy's funny on roasts and stuff?
On a roast, yes.
It can be when she's insulting or whatever.
Yeah, when that's the job.
There's a time and a place.
Right.
But Lou Ferrigno is such a big baby, isn't he? He really is on this show.
I think he's had everything handed to him in life.
Whenever they do a task, he's like, I could flex my muscles or something. They're like, no. And then he's like,
do you even have muscles anymore, Lou?
He's still, I guess, he's got more muscles than I do.
Yeah, but they're like these weak, atrophied muscles.
I don't know. He's still got some definition there.
Yeah,
he could probably crack my neck easily. But He seems like, I guess he's a nice guy. I don't know. Shut up.
He's got brain damage or something. No, honestly. Well, I think he's mentally retarded.
Oh my god.
He's so childlike.
He really does get whatever he wants, I think. That's what I think a problem is on the show, because they're all celebrities.
This brain kind of from steroids.
In their microcosm of their life, they get whatever they want, so it's hard to work with others, you know? And they had to do another one of those goddamn viral videos, Bill, where they do a commercial.
I'm so glad I didn't watch this.
But at the beginning of the show, it's from the previous episode where Arsenio is venting over that Aubrey chick. And he's like, that bitch, that whore. And,
no way. Nice.
Lisa Lampolino is like, oh, no, you didn't. You're going to talk about women that way? And that starts. So let's go ahead and check that out.
No, just one.
Oh, and it's so funny is she's yelling at Arsenio, but then when the people come in and they don't know who got fired last week, and it was Dee Snider. When she sees Dee Snider got fired, but Lou Ferrigno comes walking in, she loses it. Let's check this out.
I don't want to hear about how good you are. I've had to suck it all up and let a bitch treat me like don't you say in the boardroom. That oh whore. God. That whore.
You're going straight for bitch and whore? Really? You better hope I'm never on your team, because if anybody calls me a bitch or a whore, they're going to have way more problems when they do it. It's just not right.
She was a bitch to me, Lisa. How can you defend her if you weren't here?
I'm telling you
what she did to me.
Anybody,
I'm telling you what she did to me, Lisa.
Out is not appropriate.
Lisa, when you with me and disrespect me, it's on.
Lisa Lampanelli is the last human being on the planet that can tell me what language I should use when I'm angry. That's the pot calling the kettle black.
You can't decide that she didn't disrespect me because you like her.
I didn't say that. I just said yelling bitch and whore about a woman is wrong. Don't be a and don't ruin your image and your career. Don't be bitching and whore, and every woman in America is going to hate you.
Lisa and Arsenio are very upset. It was like poking beehive.
No.
I sat in a chair, put the seatbelt on, and held on. But I don't know who got fired this week.
Hey, Diana.
You're kidding me. What the happened, Lou?
You know, I don't know what to say. It's just tough.
Right.
I had a mental breakdown when I saw Lou and Diana with the five brain cells in between them come into that room, and Dee Snider gets the shaft. That was up, Lou. I don't give a how bad you feel. That was and you were not an effective leader, and you had no ideas, so you're both useless.
Oh, at least they put me down. Call me an effing loser. So now I'm going to get ugly, get nasty, but I'm not going to let Lisa get away with her.
Now I got two brain deads on my team. Great.
Pen, get a lot of sleep, because you're going to be doing 50% of the work from now on with me.
Now, she called him a lot of names, but did she ever call him an effing loser? I didn't hear her say
that. No, I didn't hear that.
So, way at the end of the episode.
That's what he heard.
It's a 2-hour episode. Oh my god. He's Devin Bowles.
And the week
here,
before
right?
It was three?
He's Devin Bowles.
Yeah, it was a 3-hour. This was a 2-hour one. So, way at the end of the task, their team of Penn Jillette, Lisa Lampanelli, Diana Mendoza, and Lou Ferrigno lost. And Lisa, of course, she wants to fire Lou because he's dead weight. And all he wants to talk about is how she called him an effing loser to Donald Trump, which I'm not even sure if she did, because I've listened. I didn't hear her say that. She insulted him. She
called him. He even talks like a large baby.
Yeah. Well, there's a part, I think it was that last week, there's hilarious. She goes, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's probably going to get fired. And she says that within earshot of him, but he can't hear her saying it. But one thing he says, he goes, if you were a man, I'd throw you right through that wall. And she's like, she gets upset because he threatened violence on her. But he's like, no, I didn't. I said, if you were a man, I would. And that's kind of funny, too. She gets all upset about that.
But that makes any difference? If you were a man, I'd beat you up. But since you're not, I'm not going to?
Yeah.
He's violent in general. That's all he knows.
Let's check this out.
So did you find Lou to be your weak link?
Yes.
Wow.
Could I say something?
Yes, go ahead, Lou.
I have to say, Lisa's lucky not to be a man tonight, because I would throw her right through that wall. Because after the last boardroom, you call me a loser.
Are you kidding me?
You call me a loser, both Diane and I, and I think you're very negative. Take it back. You're negative, you're mean, and vicious. I just want to say that to your face.
Oh, nobody shut up, Lucifer, baby, no Huey. Loser.
Listen, Lou, that's for outside the boardroom, and I don't curse in the boardroom, and you know that. No one did. So you know what?
You
keep
just
it
say
outside.
To my face, you say you're a loser.
Lou,
you just say that.
Lou, you know what? Lou,
did you say that?
And by the way, if you physically threaten me again,
I did not.
There's going to be a problem.
I don't fight with women. I just give you honest opinion.
And I'll protect you. I'm giving you an opinion.
Lisa, I'll protect you.
Yeah, I am sure you will. Thank you very much. You're out of line.
I think.
Again.
Did you say that, Lisa?
Did you say that to Lou?
I think my exact words, when they walked into the room without Dee Snider, I said, are you effing kidding me? We lost a strong player. I'm stuck with these two. So I said, Penn, I said, get a lot of sleep because you're going to be doing half the task and I am going to do the other half as usual. So, yes, I was angry to be left with two weak players. But the difference is Diana stepped up, was completely professional this time. We had no fights in the whole group. It was only trying to find some busy work for him to
do. Did you call Lou a loser then?
I really don't remember, sir.
And if you know what?
And if he says I did, I'm sure he's right. And it was in anger, and I apologize. But don't threaten anybody.
I'm not trying to say you're disrespectful in front of a bunch of people.
And you know what you are? You were kissing my ass for the last 2 days. Bring it up out there.
In the boardroom, you're phony. Back
outside
the boardroom,
you got a filthy mouth.
You're constantly negative, constantly putting people down.
Well, you know what?
Oh, my God.
I do the job, honey. I do the job, and you don't. So get ready for an elevator ride, Lou.
Wow, it's big stuff. And he did say, if you were a man, he would attack you.
Well, it's still out of order, Mr. Trump. He could have brought this up nicely, and we could have discussed it. But he had to wait and try to blindside me. Guess what? It didn't work. It doesn't ruffle my feathers, and I'll still tell the truth to the Trumps, because that's what they deserve, okay?
Wow.
I took a fight with women.
You just did.
I just told you honestly in a nice way. I said,
oh, that was really nice.
I said, if you were Duncan, you're not a man. Because if you were a man, you go straight through that wall in 2 seconds before you could blink.
Lou, it doesn't worry me at all. Your threats are empty because guess what? You brought nothing to the table on this task, so let's stick with that.
You never call anybody a loser in front of a whole bunch of people. You did it in front of the whole team here, and I think you're disrespectful.
Wah.
And I say it to your face.
Teresa, did you hear her say that to Lou?
I heard the other part. I didn't hear the loser,
Paul, did
to
you
be
hear
honest.
It?
But
you know what? It was so crazy in that room. Like, there was crossfire all over the place, and then I just tried to get out of the way. And I don't
and
remember.
By the way, that was the least of it. Lou, what do you think? Their commercial or this commercial?
I like their commercial. I think of the fact that they use more soft power, I basically like their commercial.
You say you like theirs?
Really?
The other Jesus.
Your team can't be thrilled when you say that. You know that.
Well,
I mean, even if it's so, and I don't want anyone to ever lie or misrepresent or anything else, but I'm just seeing here, watching Lisa just seethe as you're saying you like the opposing team's commercial better.
It's my opinion.
How do you feel about that, Lisa?
I think it's a Benedict Arnold turncoat thing to do. I think it's easy to say that he didn't like what we did because the three of us did it and he did nothing. So basically, it's pretty easy to put your name out of the game when you haven't had anything to do with
would
the product.
Would you say the three of us, Penn left at 4 o'clock?
I don't care if Penn left at 4 o'clock. He did a hell of a lot more than you did the whole time. So Penn, brain power-wise and just pure endurance and being available and accessible, put you to shame. Sorry once again.
And, you know, Lou got fired, too.
Thank God.
Trump was like, you know what? I didn't like how you picked the other team. You said theirs was better. You should be loyal to your team. Lou, you're fired. And you could see, like,
that's why he fired him.
Yes. And Lisa was like, hallelujah. Get rid of his stupid ass.
I don't think I could watch that week in, week out with just the way. I know Lou Ferrigno is deaf. I know that. But that voice, holy shit.
He probably barely
he's such
spoke.
A crybaby.
He, every
he
week.
He spoke before this, you know.
It is true. But whenever they go to the boardroom, he goes, Mr. Trump, I just want to say that nobody used me with my talents, and that's probably why we failed. And they're, all the guys would look around like, what the hell is
what
he talking
talent?
About?
What
he,
talent?
He'd always try to protect himself, and he came off really weenie-ish. All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, all right?
All right.
All right.
Why don't you take the kids and go back to the clubhouse?
Here's another exciting episode of Sanger Harris Superheroes. Being a superhero can get messy. Luckily, they're wearing Billy the Kid Gramerton slacks. They've saved the day because they're machine washable, bleach safe. Presto, good as new. You can be a Sanger Harris superhero too in Billy the Kid Gramerton slacks. Just $12.99 to $15.99 in Children's World at Sanger Harris.
What you can do with the magic brush, a color set. Painting's fun for most everyone, and cleanup's easy when you're done.
The magic brush 8 color set. The paint is in the handle, so when you shake and squeeze, the color flows through the brush. Adult preparation required. Nothing to mix or pour. You can pick it up and paint some more.
This is what you can do, because painting's fun for most everyone with the magic brush 8 color set.
The magic brush 8 color set. Complete as shown. From Reeves.
Takara's Great Bead Machine. Feed the beads into the hopper, turn the handle, and watch them travel through the gears to become strings of colorful beads. Now at Playworld's low price of
$8.92. Playworld, where prices go.
So low, low.
Let's see.
Introducing the Fisher-Price Movie Viewer. It comes with a cartoon cartridge called Lonesome Ghosts. There's Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Goofy. In slow motion, speed it up or backwards. And no batteries.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, you gotta learn to share.
You can buy 8 other colorful Walt Disney film cartridges, too. The Movie Viewer. By Fisher-Price.
America, what do you want in a cheese pub?
How about more cheese?
Yeah!
More cheese!
More, more,
more cheese, please!
New Cheetos Snacks has more cheese to please. And more real cheese flavor makes new Cheetos cheese-flavored snacks cheesier.
Now more cheddar makes Cheetos taste better.
There's more, more,
more cheese to please.
With new Cheetos?
Going on right now, Crazy Eddie's greatest car stereo sale ever. Get an 8-track or cassette player, FM stereo radio, equalizer, power amp speakers. Crazy Eddie's greatest car stereo sale ever. Go there now!
Sometimes the best things in life are the simplest. For example, I'm allergic to penicillin. So like more than a million other Americans, I wear this medic alert emblem. Engraved on the back is my special condition, plus a 24-hour phone number to provide life-protecting information about me within seconds. You see, medic alert will speak for me in emergency, in case I can't. So take good care of yourself and join today. For information, write or call medic alert.
Sasson, jeans and trousers pour madame. Catch them before they take off. Sasson, coats and jackets pour madame. Take off in international style.
This
microphone is
really hot.
It's cold.
It's hot.
Love 30, and I love my Mr. Microphone.
Say your microphone.
No!
Another Mr. Microphone. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, look in the back. Pick you up later.
Mr. Microphone is available at these fine stores.
Hi, I'm Marshall Brodeen. Most magic tricks are easy once you know the secret. And with the Magic Show, you can learn to do many tricks. It all comes in a carrying case with a publicity poster and enough letters to put your very own name on them. Here's the magic milk pitcher. Take any piece of newspaper and roll it into a cone. Pour this pitcher of milk into the paper. Unroll the paper, and the milk mysteriously seems to disappear. Here's another trick. Stuff in the ordinary handkerchief in your hand, and with the magic vanisher, presto, you made it disappear. This is the mystifying Chinese rice bowl trick. Take some rice and fill one of the bowls. Cover it with the other bowl. Turn them over, and it looks like you have twice as much rice. Level off the rice, and it looks like the rice changes to water. Now you can have hours of fun entertaining your family and friends. The Magic Show comes with the equipment and instructions for 45 tricks, Carrying case, poster, and letters.
The Magic Show with Carrying Case and Poster is available for only $9.95 at all hook-dependable drugs.
Rainbow shops are ready for the holidays with a fabulous group of sweaters. Choose from soft acrylics, metallic trims, and more. Just $12.99. Rainbow Shops has a tremendous selection of pants in wool blends and velvet. Only $16.99. And a holiday collection of beautiful robes. Just $14.99. They make welcome gifts at Rainbow Shops.
If you think you've got the style of the house you went about the Rainbow Shops, about the Rainbow Shops.
What's got more pizzazz than a pizza? Better than a burger? Introducing the great-tasting new patio burrito, bulging with lots of good beef and beans, not a lot of dough.
It's got more pizzazz than this pizza. Get out of here.
Sure beats those burgers.
Better taste, more beef and beans is why we're preferred to the leading brand.
Lots of beef and beans.
And not a lot of dough.
Lots of beef and beans, not a lot of dough.
I'm gonna fix us a nice light meal, Gwen. I start with toast.
Then what, Gertrude?
I'm thinking.
So's the giant.
Introducing Toast Toppers Light Meals. Delicious light meals you cook in 8 minutes and enjoy piping hot over toast, like sliced beef in rich brown gravy. Toast Toppers Light Meals from the Green Giant.
That was delicious. And so was your toast.
Green Giant.
Sam just can't accept my new ideas.
Antiperspirant's not a new idea.
Secret Solid is. It's ideal for women.
Ideal?
Uh-huh. First, it's strong. Nothing will keep a woman drier.
Oh, yeah?
But there's more. Look how your spray goes on.
You're making a mess.
Uh-huh. And your roll-on?
It's wet.
Think of that on a woman's bare underarm.
Wow.
But new Secret Solid feels warm, smooth, and dry. I hardly know it's there.
Mm, and it works?
No man's roll-on or spray can beat it.
Sounds good.
Huh? It's for women. Smell.
Mmm, pretty.
Uh-huh, and it'll help keep me dry at my aerobic dance class.
Aeroba who?
He just can't accept new ideas.
New Secret Solid, the comfort and strength women want.
Tired of looking at the same old face every day? Get a fresh one at Hills. From a wide selection of Timex clocks priced 20% off the suggested list prices. Timex electric wall clocks, battery-powered quartz clocks, and handsomely dependable Timex alarm clocks. So when your home needs a fresh new face, come into Hills. Timex clocks are 20% off every day.
Oh, no, they're right on time.
We're the anti-inflation department store.
You probably can't guess where you can find all this under one roof. Probably not at the stereo store at the mall. Probably not at the TV shop. Or the computer center across town. You'll find all this at Sears. That's right. Sears.
There's more for your life at Sears.
Have a double good time, have a double great day. Double your pleasure, the double midway. Get the single most favorite double in the world. Double good, double good, double mint gum.
You'll really double your pleasure with double mint gum. Because it's double good, double fresh, double smooth. Always double delicious to chew.
Double good, double good, double mint gum.
Double your pleasure with double mint gum.
Michelob Light for the winners this time, huh?
Oh, you enjoy being buried in the sand.
Michelob Light for the winners.
Would good friends really play this hard for a beer? Well, it is Michelob Light, the rich, smooth taste you can compare to any beer you like.
Michelob Light for the winners.
Ah, the sea, the sun, the sand.
The check.
At Stanley, we make our products tougher than they have to be. The government won't buy a hammer unless this test is done 20 times. Stanley does it 300 times. The government says do this one twice. Stanley does it 25 times. We even do tests the government doesn't require. Our quality testing never stops. So you can count on Stanley for quality that won't quit.
Stanley, we want to help you do things right.
grimace, a suit of armor for a knight.
He sure sounds happy.
Hello?
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 From McDonald's Happy Meal. Regular hamburger.
Regular fries.
Regular soft drink.
Now this is a good night.
Good night.
You get one of four different Lego building sets when you buy a McDonald's Happy Meal. Each set builds one of these four toys. And more. You can collect all four, a different set each week at participating McDonald's.
To suck it all up.
Well, excuse me?
What?
Oh, my goodness. All right, everyone, we're back. And I, you know what I just thought of, Bill? We didn't mention on the show, because I don't want to be a hater. I don't want to hate, but I'm sorry. I watched the Harry Knowles video. He does these Ain't It Cool News things.
Oh, Christ.
On the Nerdist channel. It makes my skin like I broke out in hives watching it.
It's like he's doing the show like it's like Sesame Street. Like he's talking to us like we're children.
Hey, morons! I know more about shit than you do. Look at all my cool toys I have down here in my dungeon. Look at my neck beard. I want to fucking yank on that neck beard so hard.
I'm gonna rip it out until it's bleeding.
Why am I turning violent? I don't know. I just turned violent watching it. Ernie Klein, the guy who wrote Ready Player One, who we love. Great book. He seems like a great guy. I got my book signed by the guy. He's a great guy. He shows up at the end of the episode. My heart sank.
Yeah,
when I saw him
walk down the stairs, I was like, no!
I was like, get out of there, Ernie. He's going to kill you. He's going to wear your skin in a second. But he's like, hey, look, Harry, look what I got. It's the oscillating overthruster from Buckaroo Banzai. He's like, oh, bullshit. I got something better than that, loser. And he pulls out this collector's thing and he's like, check this out, Ernie. You know, you may have written a book, but I own ain'titcoolnews.com, bitch. And he shows this thing. And I mean,
the entire thing, he's like, you know what makes me better? I like to collect things about films because it's really whenever you get involved into the minutia horseshit that you really become a fan.
You really appreciate it better than you. Do you like Westerns, Jason? Well, yes, I do. No, you don't, because you don't collect these Western comic books like I do.
You don't have a horse.
See, look, they even say the same dialogue as the movie. Well, why does that make you a bigger fan? Because it just does. I have the comic books, asshole. Oh, well, how do I get a cool neck beard like that? It's impossible for you to grow one. Only I can. Would you mind if I just wrap my fingers around all the little hairs and just yank on it as hard as I can? Oh, God. Okay, I got to.
Don't mind if I pull your beard down into my freaking foot.
I'm sorry, Harry. God bless you, buddy. I don't know what to say.
He's such an asshole.
Oh, douche-tastic. Wow. Yeah. And I can't wait to read his review of, let's see, Cabin in the Woods. Maybe he'll review that. Like, I remember when I used to go to a cabin with my dad,
and we'd watch 16mm films of people in cabins.
Wait, he's head geek. What is his dad again?
Father geek.
Father geek, and then his wife, Yoko, or his nephew. He always talks about his nephew also. Oh, God. Let's move on.
Is his nephew Guillermo or something?
No, Guillermo del Toro is Harry's friend, and he name drops him whenever he can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that's another thing. He co-produces. His name is on Morgan Spurlock's new documentary on Comic-Con. I don't know what the hell Harry had to do with it. Probably like, hey, we'll give you a credit, Harry, if you mention it on your viral website. So he's like, wow, it is so neat talking about my film, capital M-Y. And I'm like, I'm sure Morgan Spurlock is like, wait, what did he say? Huh? He didn't.
I never saw his wheelchair-ridden ass anywhere near me.
I don't remember him coming up with any of these ideas. Yeah, but it's just, there's something about the guy drives me nuts. I don't know.
It's because he's the guy that always wants to one-up.
He does. And am I the only? I'm not the only one, right?
No.
Does anyone else out there think he's a douchey?
Yeah, I had a hard time. I couldn't even finish watching the video.
Yeah, the second one's just as bad.
The second one's worse.
It is worse. Because he's got everyone kissing his ass who he interviews.
When the script falls down on his desk,
I
stop.
He's interviewing Stan Lee as a puppet. And, you know, Stan Lee, I hold nothing against him. He doesn't know where he is right now. But the guy from big celebrity.
Stan Lee thought he was in the porta potty.
The guy from Attack of the Show is there. Ooh, big celebrity interview, huh?
Kevin Pereira.
And then I don't know, why does the Nerdist guy have him on his channel? I don't know. I think they're just filling the shit up. It's the cool thing now to have your own channel, right, Bill?
Because yeah, it is. The Nerdist guy has the Nerdist channel, and that Felicia Day that everyone fawns over has one called Geek and Sundry.
Right. Will Wheaton has a show where they play board games. Well, when are we going to do a NIM channel, damn it?
The only person that is more douchey than Harry Knowles is Will Wheaton.
Oh my God! And Ernie Cline
dare anyone to try to get through 5 minutes of that condescending twat's freaking dialogue on that show he does.
Dude, Ernie Cline's always hanging around with Will Wheaton too. Why is he abusing himself like this?
Yeah, and Will freaking Wheaton ruined the audiobook for Ready Player One.
He's such
and it's Poser, not Posor.
Posor?
You asshole.
I think the thing is about Will Wheaton is the way he talks, he enunciates, he's very technical, like he's got his ass so tight he could, you know, pop out a diamond or something. He's so
I bet his wife sticks a piece of coal up his ass every morning.
I don't
just so she can have a diamond by the end of the day.
He enunciates or something, he comes off really
douchey.
Yeah. Totally.
Snooty?
Snooty.
Snotty.
Yes.
Snotty.
Yes, exactly.
If you stuck a lump of coal up his ass, in 2 weeks you'd have a diamond.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about Monster Man, Bill. Because there's a new...
I still have no idea what this is.
Monster Man, it's a dude who does practical effects. No CGI, hates CGI, but he does effects for really shitty movies.
So he's not like a Greg Nicotero or Rick Baker.
I think those guys probably know of him, maybe. Maybe there's some respect in the field. He's been there a long time. Mm-hmm. And,
I mean, he does...
He would more... This guy would do makeup for a Don Dohler film.
Totally. He would do sci-fi movies, too.
Like the Alien Factor.
The first episode, he did a two-headed great white shark, which I thought turned out pretty cool.
Oh, was that was from one of those Asylum movies, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He does stuff like that. Like this week he's doing a alien head for a movie, an actor turned director, and I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to tell you who the guy is,
don't
but
just call him an actor.
You know whenever you hear an actor say, "Well, what I really want to do is direct," and you just kind of roll your eyes like, "Oh God." Well, listen to who's directing now, guys, because if you want to be a director when you grow up, you might as well blow your brains out, because this is who's directing movies, not you. Let's check it out. But first, here's an introduction to the Monster Man, Bill.
I'm Cleve Hall. I make monsters for the biggest names in Hollywood.
Action!
I work with the most talented team in the business.
Let's go make a monster! Come on!
My daughter, Constance. My ex-wife, Sonia, and my youngest, Elora. My crew, Hill and Johnny. And my bosses, Roy and Cindy. When a scene begs for the unimaginable, Hollywood calls on me to make some old-school movie magic with my own two hands. That's why I'm the Monster Man.
Damn it. Clean! You seen Cleve?
This is his boss.
No. We have a huge meeting in 10 minutes. He's not here.
Seriously, my blood pressure's through the roof right now. Cleve's the mad genius behind this outfit. Without his brains, we're not operating at full capacity. That's why I need him here for all these meetings with these clients.
He's not
so
here.
He
his
didn't just read
fall.
That
I can't
line.
Believe he's doing this again.
All right.
Everyone knows Wee Man. His real name's Jason Acuna. Dude was so funny in those Jackass films. But now he's branching out and making his directorial debut. A famous client.
Oh, shut up.
Directing. That's Monster Pressure.
No.
This is your lair?
Yeah, I've been here for almost 20 years. Cleve and I have done so many monsters together, man. It's sick. I'm really sorry he's not here. Hopefully he'll turn up soon.
I can't always be at the shop. Sometimes I need to go and relax with my family. And for this reason, I created Manicure Mondays.
So what do you got?
I'm getting ready to direct and also star in an alien movie. It's something I've always been wanting to do.
Like, cool.
A little person alien
joke.
That's going to pretty much attack the big people.
B-movie kind of alien? Like 50s?
Full B-movie 50s.
Oh, I love
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
I'm trying my best to keep a smile on my face, but where the hell is Cleve? He would love Wee Man's original alien idea.
How many other dads will go with you to get a mani pedi? That may be weird, but it's also pretty cool.
What else is in the scene? Like, is it just the alien? Or is it?
It's me on a operating table. There's another alien there to get me, but doesn't realize that I'm also an alien.
Cool.
And so it comes and rips my face off, and there I am as, you know, actual alien that's inside of me.
The same type of alien?
Yes.
Wee Man's hired us to engineer the most important effect in his film. First, he wants to get his face torn off. Then he's revealing an oversized alien head. It's a complex build, and it's up to us to make his film a success. Dude,
where the hell were you?
Well, I was out.
Why does every clip have
to
be washed in bad music?
I got my toes done, too. I got a spider on that side and a ghost on this one.
But you need to be here to meet these people.
No, I need to be here to make the damn stuff.
No, we have two big jobs due in 3 days, dude.
Business, business, business. That is all Roy ever wants to talk about. All I want to do is make monsters. Just tell me what you need done.
We're doing a giant pair of boots for DreamWorks for the premiere Puss in Boots. DreamWorks, our biggest client, DreamWorks.
Yeah, that covers that meeting. What was the other meeting?
Wee Man wants us to build a 50s alien for him.
Who knows 50s aliens?
Who
loves 50s aliens?
Yeah, I know, and I love it too. But dude, his face peels off and he's got an alien head under it.
Come on, 50s style alien? I live for this stuff. You told me everything I need to know now.
Eve can never seem to grasp the concept of time.
Time is the enemy of creativity.
Just let me know who's doing what and start, please.
Okay.
Amen, brother.
Can I tell you on Thursday when I know who's doing what?
No.
So, Bill, basically every episode, the guy's always bitching about him, about his timeline, right?
Mm-hmm. He's always late.
And he's always late, but he always arrives on the set late where the director's like, where's my shit?
It's like...
He did this one
now, whether
werewolf
it's,
one.
It's 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late, you know, it's just like, you don't know.
Oh, and you know what's really funny about the show is whenever he delivers it, Bill, they do kind of this... I don't know if they're rehearsing or what, but they put letterbox bars on it, like we're watching a scene from the movie.
All of a sudden, it's the show goes scope.
Yeah, because it goes, and action! And it's got the sound effects, the music, and everything. But you can tell they just staged it on the show. It's not like the finished product at all, you know? And it's so funny. And
what channel is this disaster
on? It's
on
Sci-Fi. And he goes, and cut! That's a wrap! And they're like, oh, woo! Yeah, you pulled it out, Monster Man. He's like, hey, you know.
That's why they call me the Monster Man.
But I just got to play this one more clip where Wee Man, he's a wee man. He's a small guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought maybe he was a giant penis.
He's a wee, not a wee man.
I think he's dressed up as one of those.
But he has to get his face molded. And it's so funny because they tell him not to talk when he's like, whoa, 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 and they're like,
I will only let you play this clip if it has way too loud background music.
I'm sure it does.
Ask and ye shall receive.
Okay.
We'll build this alien head like a big foam football helmet with exposed brains and bugged out eyes. But first, we need to create a silicone replica of Wee Man's face that we'll rip off to reveal his true alien identity.
Man, he's really giving a convincing read on this.
Let's do it.
Up all you guys.
Hop up in the chair.
Oh, you got it.
So let me get Constance in here. So, Jason, this is Constance.
Hey, Constance. How's it going? The bad news, Dad gave me more work than anybody else. The good news, I get to work with Wee Man from Jackass. Awesome.
Give me a shot when you're ready.
Okie dokie.
Thanks.
Any allergies or anything I need to know about?
Oh, latex. Totally don't ever use rubbers. I'm just kidding.
Perfect. He is exactly
as really funny.
Did you hear her?
I'm excited.
How excited?
Well, I would show you, but I gotta keep my pants on.
Okay.
You do.
He always said, like, the whole episode, he said stupid stuff like that, but I love her. She's like,
you're so funny, Wee Man.
You're so tiny.
Show me
you. You're so wee.
I can't wait to see
man.
You. There's one part where he's on the set, Bill, and he goes, I think instead of showing the alien here, it should just be a glimpse, like a shadow across the wall, and it goes by. And the guy, like, I don't know if he's a director or photographer, he's like, oh, wow, that's a great idea.
And I was man, like, wow. I've never heard of anything like that before.
That's Wee Man directing, guys. He's a natural.
Tease the monster, not show it outright. That's genius.
I think he got directing for dummies book.
You know, this show, it's entertaining. What can I say? But they have the stupid faux family arguments just like Cake Boss. I don't know why they do that. But my new favorite show, guys, is Restaurant Stakeout. Come on.
I saw Deagle last week.
Deagle. Willie Deagle. One thing that I've noticed, I've now watched like three or four. I don't know. Every episode, it has a stupid moment where he's like, all right, put the camera here. We're going to have a camera here. Mic this baby up right here. And he's like talking to the guy setting up the cameras. Why do they have to show that every episode? We get it. There's cameras in the
because
restaurant.
He is a man in charge,
oh,
and
so
he wants to show people that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's Willie
he
Deagle.
He knows where the problems
I'm
are.
Willie Deagle. But
he has a massive pumpkin head.
And he's got sausage fingers.
He does. You know, he's a sausage-stuffed pumpkin.
He's totally in the Harvey Weinstein family of sausage fingers, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's up there. And that he's also got that that neck roll.
I think he'd eat him with forks because he would eat his fingers if he continued.
My favorite thing he does is, you know, he's always watching somebody who's doing something horrible. And he goes, this is terrible. This is not the way it should be. You never treat the customer like that.
Yeah.
He says it through the whole episode. We get it. They're bad employees. But you don't
have to keep
the customer's
always right.
Yeah, the customer's always right. But my favorite is at the beginning.
I wonder if he has any other cliches he can repeat.
Yeah, happens on every episode where he sets up the camera. Just check this out.
And we got another one right there. So I'm here now with my tech team, and we're going to rig the entire restaurant with hidden cameras, hidden microphones. We're locking this Willie Parker's down tight.
I want America seeing food, service, staff hanging out, what they're doing, picking their nose, okay? I want to see the service bar. I want to see this door. I want to see all this area, everything here, right?
The next 24 hours are going to be an eye-opening experience for Lewis and his brother Reno. We took a place right across the street, an empty computer store. We're setting up shop, Willie Vision right there.
What's going on, guys? This is ugly back here. You're tight. Beam me up. Show me what we got. Let's go. All right, great. So I want each of you locked on camera on Lewis and Reno, all right? I want to see everything they do so I can put them to the test.
Do you realize that I...
Oh, this is funny, though, because the brothers argue about everything. They're arguing about how they don't have matching salt and pepper shakers. Let's check this out.
I had to deal and listen to people complaining about the salt shakers today, that we have three different salt shakers, and a month ago I told you that I want to go buy
so what?
Shakers.
What are they doing?
You think they're not going to come back because of the salt shakers? If they're not going to come because of the salt shakers,
look right. You made close-up on camera D.
Oh,
directing
you kidding me? Three different salt shakers. It's a month ago.
Okay.
Lewis and Reno, they bicker, they argue. This can never be allowed, especially an earshot away from the customer.
Okay, Sugar Daddy,
please.
You're going to pay for it?
No, I'm not
okay,
pay for it.
Sugar
it's
Daddy?
Out of business, but
it's going to come out of business, out of where?
It's funny, but the
way,
things
we can cut.
These guys are crazy.
We're not going to argue with you about salt shakers, Lewis. We should have the same salt shakers on every table.
Give me a close-up on camera D.
I'm sick of listening to you.
Didn't he just ask?
Being so greedy, let me bring
screw
me,
man. I can
instead
direct.
Of being so greedy,
call one of your big
fixtures
in.
Call one of your big fixtures
in. Done. And then there'll be no more problem. I'm done.
This is ridiculous. This can't go on.
I want Lewis to come sit with me. Show him how we're connected so I can teach him and show him what's going wrong every day in this store.
The guy's like a bull in a china closet.
Reno's energy not only affects the staff, it affects the customers. This guy spins around the place like the Tasmanian devil.
He's out there barking orders like a crazy.
There's a reason we call him the pit bull.
He's not managing anything.
Yael is the brunette.
What's her name?
Yael.
What?
Yael. Y-A-E-L. She's Israeli.
Yael? Okay, that's a tough one.
He's trying to...
it's really difficult to pronounce, you pumpkin-headed idiot.
He's trying to tell him the name of the bartender, who's really hot, but she doesn't do anything. She just stands there. But that's what I love about the show. I love his directing. Cut to camera D, quick.
He honestly thinks he is the hottest shit in town.
They do have a guy named Brian. He's a waiter who wants to be a comedian, so he tries jokes on the customers, and they have no idea what he's doing. And in the
they think they're part of a social experiment.
There's one part where he goes, "How's that bread right there?" And she goes, "Ah, it's a little crusty." And he goes, "What, like your boyfriend's underwear?" And she goes, "What?" And kind of looks at him. And the guy's like looking at
him. You know what?
Him.
I think he's on to something. Really badly placed humor.
I know, that's just so uncomfortable, you know? And also what's funny is they leave him a $4 tip. And he goes, hey. And he goes outside and he goes, $4? Really, buddy? And he goes, hey, you earned it, pal. It's hilarious. The guy is so bad at his job. But there's this guy, they've said, hey, I think that's a movie producer or something. So he's like, hey, you producer? And he goes, yeah. Or he goes, are you an agent? And he goes, no, I'm a producer. And he's talking to him. He goes, are you going to take our order?
I can know? If you want me to.
Let's just check this out.
I thought I would audition.
But also, in case you don't know this is bad, Willie Deagle tells us how terrible it is. I love it.
Look what Brian's doing. He's standing behind the wall. He's looking at the games. He's watching the games. He's not. I've been telling my brother to let's get rid of Brian for weeks.
Back up on camera cape.
After hearing the staff gossip about a successful producer, Brian moves in.
Going close on that waiter.
How you guys tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad.
What's your name?
My name's Chris.
Chris. I hear you're an agent?
No, no.
The guys in the back are whispering.
No, no. I'm a producer.
Producer?
Right.
Hey, Ronnie Weinstein. Nice to meet you.
Oh, yeah, Weinstein.
What is he thinking? That's unacceptable. This is crazy.
So you're not taking our order?
What is he thinking?
I can't. Come on. This is what he interrupted a customer for? This is terrible.
A waiter should never take advantage of a customer's dining experience. Hijacking a diner who is out for a meal to advance a personal agenda is a major crossing of the line.
What is that guy thinking? Well, when you got big shots, important people, any celebrities, stars, football players, everybody, you treat them normal. You don't bother them, you don't harp on them. You leave them alone, you treat them normal. They want to know they can come here and be just like everyone else.
A good comedian.
All right, well, let's see how good you are as a waiter.
I'm a better comedian.
Than a waiter?
No, absolutely.
All right. Brian's job is to be a waiter, not take advantage of a customer that's a captive audience the minute they sit down.
This is my number. Feel free to use that number anytime.
This guy's ridiculous. Looks like the customer wants to shoot himself in the head and get out of here as fast as he can.
You believe
he wouldn't be able to if he shot himself in the head.
I don't care
Willie.
What you're doing when you're in a restaurant. I care what you do outside. You're an actor, rock star, garbage man on weekends. It doesn't matter. You come in here, you do your job.
You're right.
Brian's personality just lost this place a customer for life. Most of all, he ruined the guest experience and ruined his evening. This is embarrassing.
Son of a bitch.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Why don't you get that down? Get back to us.
There is a specials menu.
You don't even know.
How can a customer have a true Willie Park experience if the staff don't know the specials and what to offer the customer? Big failure. You really needed my help.
Well, I didn't call you because I wanted to be friends with you.
He doesn't want to be friends with the Willie Deagle.
I love how that guy's like, yeah, thanks, Willie. I don't know what's going on in my restaurant. It's like his voice. It's like, yeah.
I think he smoked a little something special in the office before he came in.
His brother Reno is hilarious because he's like the, you know, what are you talking about or whatever. He's
the restaurant goon.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, here's the last part where he tells the lady that, you know, the bread is crusty. Oh, what, like your boyfriend's underwear? Oh!
Oh, hickory dickory dock!
And it's over. He brings her a sandwich. She's like, I ordered a skirt steak. He goes, what? And
but this sandwich is so much better.
he looks, he goes, no, I wrote it down. I wrote skirt steak. You're right. And she's just looking at him like, so take it back. Get my skirt steak. So
you know what? I'd rather have
the sandwich.
I'd rather
sandwich.
Have this cold sandwich.
But in case you don't know if it's wrong or not, maybe Willie Deagle will tell us. Let's check it out.
Oh, I hope so.
No? Bread.
Kind of crusty.
Like your boyfriend's underwear.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. Sometimes you have a bad seed, it ruins it for everybody. You got to get rid of the negative.
All I do is I practice my comedy here. That's all I do. You know what I'm saying? I got bigger things ahead of me. You know what I mean? I stand up.
If I ever heard one of my employees talking negative about their job or my restaurants in my places, I'd fire them immediately. I'd personally throw them right out the front door.
I got the penny, but no chicken sandwich.
I ordered the skirt steak.
Oh, you ordered the skirt steak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian was so busy focused on that comedy, he got their whole order wrong. Let's see if this guy could actually redeem himself and keep his job. Because in my book, he's on the way out.
What happened?
What happened? You happened.
Skirt steak.
I said skirt steak.
You got to leave your ego at the door. Customer is king always.
My sausage fingers are so sore.
What is skirt steak? What are you there?
Somebody
just
give me some mustard.
Shut up
fingers.
And get it right.
The writing's on the wall.
What about the delivery?
You can't make any excuses to the customer. No matter what, customer is always right.
No matter what. Brian is seeing how his bad service is reflected with a bad tip.
Pick up the camera we got out in front, guys.
$4, buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man, you get what you deserve, bro. That steak was terrible.
You can never argue with your customers about their experience in your restaurant.
You got what you deserve, bro.
This is unbelievable to see all of this. This guy Brian's a cancer, and what do you do with it? You cut it out.
After hearing about Brian's behavior, wow. Reno
You're
has finally had enough.
This is not going to work out. This has been way too many things that have gone on. I have a business to run. It's detrimental to me to keep you here. Do me a favor. Let them do your tickets with them. You're not just going to leave. You're going to get the money. Give me your money from the bills. They're going to help you out.
I'm not going to finish helping them.
What's that? Then you're not going to finish helping them. I'll get someone else to help them. Do your money. Get your tickets done. Carry. Get his tickets done with him, please. Change and go.
I want the tip. I want
it. Don't worry about the tip.
What about my pay?
Don't worry about the tip. You can sit there at the bar and wait for your
pay. I'm not going to stay here.
Dude, don't even start with me right now. All right? Please, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. Pay your money and get out of here. That's it.
So Reno finally did something good. At least he took some action. Action I agree with. This guy's terrible.
Well, thank God he did what Willie Deagle would want.
So, well, Willie Deagle's the man in the know.
So what do you think about this Willie Deagle guy, Bill?
You really want... he's fantastic.
He redoes
this restaurant business.
His knowledge is vast and wide, like his ass.
He runs successful steak restaurants, right?
That I've never heard of in my life.
Neither have I, but apparently they're really successful, and he has cameras everywhere, and that's his big secret. You can tell when people's not are doing bad jobs, right? That's what it is, isn't it? That's his philosophy?
He keeps people scared by Big Brother.
But I'm telling you, just watch one episode of this, and they do it every time where it's like, I'm going to put cameras in this. It's like, we know! That's the concept of the show! You don't have to tell us every time!
I can't believe the show is even on the air. Honestly, it's so bad.
I love this show because it's so bad. I love it. And I love when he tells us, oh my God, this is terrible. You can't do that. And it's like, yeah, we know. We're with you. We're watching the show too. We know what's going on. But I love it. He's like, camera D, quick, pan left. And it's like, do they really need to show him armchair directing?
Pick up the camera outside.
I'm here. It's Willie TV. I'm in control of everything.
And then Wee Man comes in and directs.
But the most entertaining thing, it doesn't translate well in audio, but just watch it for the bad employees, because I love how bad they are. You know, like doing shots at work and giving customers back massages and
the
getting phone numbers.
Like you said, she was twirling the flame baton.
Oh, and the
oh my God.
The
yeah.
best thing is when there's a good employee, that person right there, that's a rock star. You keep that person on your staff. He says it like 100 times. If there's someone who does their job right, that's a rock star.
The guy who stopped the guy from drinking alcohol, you know, because he didn't have his license.
He goes, that guy, that's
he's
a rock
got
star.
Management potential there.
Yeah, you make him your manager because he's a rock star. There was a girl, the guy was like, let me buy you a shot. She was like, okay. And he's like, you can't do that. You can't drink in the restaurant. But she pours apple juice in her drink, and he goes like, oh, she's drinking apple juice. That girl right there, she's a rock star. Just like, dude, you're repeating yourself every 5 minutes. Great show. Restaurant Steakout, guys. Five stars. All right, guys. I want to talk about Fringe here for a moment. Fringe was a Lincoln Lee episode last week, and I really like the Lincoln Lee character, you guys. because I have...
he's a rock star.
Not Lincoln Lee, he's a rock star. And I have Lincoln Lee comic books that I collect, Bill.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Actually, I have a Lincoln Lee a toy that they distributed early in the season.
Oh, shit. You one-up yep. me, man. Yeah, damn it. Well, guess what? I have William... no, I got nothing. What's the guy's name? Noble? John Noble?
Yes, John Noble.
Yeah, I have John Noble here with me right now.
Well, I used to watch John Noble films on 16mm with my father.
Ah, damn it! In your bungalow?
In my bungalow.
One upped. But it's so funny because Lincoln Lee, he has nothing to do there on the R side. What are they doing? Like Olivia and Peter and Walter, they're taking the cow somewhere. Oh, it's grazing day.
That was the greatest freaking thing I've ever seen on Fringe.
He's like, today's grazing day.
Gene the cow in a gigantic FBI t-shirt, and then at the end of the scene, they have a baseball cap on it.
Yes. And so Lincoln's
so
like, take okay.
it to upstate New York to graze.
Yeah, he's like, I got nothing to do here. So he goes to the other side, and there's this weird vigilante killing people, right? And there's this great conversation here where Folivia, she asked Lincoln, like, what's his middle name? Because she's always had that bet or whatever with her partner trying to figure out what his middle name is. And since they're the same person... He tells them, but also they have a little discussion about superheroes, and it was pretty shocking, wasn't it, Bill?
I'm sorry, I had it mic'd, muted because I was burping. Yeah, they have different superheroes.
Let's check this out. This is what I love about Fringe. They just do these little funny things, but then they get back to the story. It's outrageous. I can't believe Fringe is doing this, you guys. Cut
to their rock star.
Camera D.
What's up, Tyrone?
How the hell did you... Hey. Hey. Why would you tell her that? You don't like Tyrone? I think it's a strong middle name.
He's been my partner for 6 years, and yet he wouldn't tell me his middle name.
My bad.
Okay, so, what's the skinny?
We got the body of an unidentified assailant. A woman named Paige Randall placed an emergency call last night after she was assaulted walking to her car. She reports that during the attack, someone saved her.
Well, you think this may have something to do with the vigilante cases PD's been working?
My thoughts exactly. Local police received a dozen similar reports in the last few months. Criminals going missing, junkies mysteriously vanishing, victims calling in claiming that their assailants were attacked mid-crime.
Maybe Batman's moved to the Bronx.
What's a Batman?
The cape crusader, Dark Knight. The billionaire playboy puts on a cape to clean up the streets of Gotham.
You mean Mantis?
Seriously? Your superhero is an insect?
Oh, what, because nothing says badass like a flying rat?
I don't think Mantis or Batman could have done this. Were all the other bodies like this?
There have been no other bodies. This is the first one we found.
So assuming this is our guy makes you wonder why he left this body behind.
What's changed?
Guys, I don't want to live in a world without Batman. Couldn't handle it. Now, the thing about Mantis, did you think of the old Bad Fox TV show?
I did.
With Carl Lumbly. Do you remember that show?
Carl Lumbly, yeah.
I remember watching the pilot to that, but I don't think I kept watching it whenever it came on. But
that's probably why it didn't last.
I think it was created by Sam Raimi and Sam Hamm, writer of Batman the Motion Picture. It's like, holy shit, this is going to be the greatest TV show ever made. And you watch it, you're like,
this is terrible.
This show sucks.
This show needs Willie Deagle to fix it.
This show is terrible. I can't believe Sam Hamm and Sam Raimi did this. I'll tell
them
how
to fix
it. I've set up cameras all over the production. Carl Lumbly, why are you limping like that?
Writer,
it's ridiculous.
What's wrong with you? You're writing bad stuff. Write some good stuff.
If I was a writer, I'd write way better. It's like, oh, Willie Deagle, he can do it.
That's
try
exactly. That's how he fixes situations. I would do that better.
Wow. But Fringe was good episode. I mean, it didn't have to do with the main storyline. It was like, give the main characters some time off. Let's develop Lincoln. And it was almost kind of like, okay, can't have Olivia over there. Hey, I'll take this Olivia. kind of. But I almost, his natural, I think they should set up a him and Astrid romance or something. I don't know. Maybe on the finale, just have them.
It doesn't really matter now that one of them's dead.
Well, yeah, on that side, unfortunately, Lincoln dies. And I thought it was pretty sad because we got to know him in previous episodes.
Yeah, that's rough.
When he got shot and he goes, don't worry, I'll be all right. I blew up and I was like, he's dead. I knew he was immediately. Just because of a damn sniper, can't he shoot straight? Damn it. It was an interesting episode and I can't wait to see more. But
no breaks now, right? They're doing it straight through the season?
All the way through. And
excellent.
Will they cancel Fringe? That's the big question.
Yeah, they will. Because it's Fox.
One more season.
Come on. Every season I've said that. One more season. But come on. Think about it. Friday Night Lights, you got that fifth season. Come on. Fringe. Give them that fifth season. Now, Bill, I want to talk about one more show, Justified. Did you watch the season finale?
Yes, I did.
It's a great show, isn't it? Justified, great show. They do
it right. I really like Justified, but this season didn't hold up to last season.
Oh my God, what are you saying, Bill? This is outrageous.
I honestly feel like this season was a little dragged out, a little, just the whole Margot Martindale Mags character was juicy.
That was fantastic. Yes, you're right.
And I just felt it kind of lacked a certain direction this season.
But it's a great show, isn't it?
It is. Because the writing's always sharp, always funny, very good.
The previous episode, a sheriff's deputy was killed that we've gotten to know over time. He always helps Raylan out. He's killed, shockingly. And in this episode, he goes straight to Win Duffy in his motorhome to question him. And I thought this scene pretty much establishes how fantastic the show is. They let the actors are fantastic in this show. They really are. And this scene, Raylan decides to play some Russian roulette with the guy, Win Duffy, that he's questioning. He doesn't answer his question. He pulls the trigger. Let's see if it has a bullet, right? And just listen to the way it's acted out. I mean, just even the audio is genius. And Bill, I'm a big fan of blasphemy, like, Jesus effing Christ or something like that. This guy does it better than anybody. I've never heard blasphemy like this. The guy, he's gold. Now let's check this out.
He's a rock star.
Why don't we just start with you telling me what you know? Was it Quarles? Where is he? You blew up the car. You must have been close. You see who killed the trooper? You don't want to tell me, I'll just assume it was you. What do you know?
What I know is we were on our way, Mike and I were on our way to Midnight Mass, and apparently we were exceeding the speed limit because these gentlemen pulled us over.
Yeah, and they pulled this off you.
I have a permit for that in my other pants.
Remember the pawn shop owner you sent after me? Glenn Fogel?
God rest his soul.
He had a little game he liked to play with his flunkies. He familiar?
Remind me?
I ask you a question. You answer, truthfully. Where I pulled the trigger. You understand?
It seems simple enough.
You have any questions?
What are you doing?
Is that your question?
You think you can make me talk?
It's your choice.
Or you're gonna shoot me?
There's a 5 out of 6 chance I won't.
Bullshit.
Where's Quarles?
Kiss my ass.
Jesus Christ! There are cops outside.
That's right, they're outside.
You're a cop!
Deputy U.S. Marshal.
Raylan, you just can't come in here and shoot me because you feel like it?
Why not? Isn't that the way you guys do it? Isn't that why Tom Bergen's dead? Why his wife and children are grieving? So you know what? Now we're going to play by your rules.
Raylan.
Where's Quarrel?
I don't know! Jesus, stop it! What is wrong with you?
You want me to stop? Tell me the truth.
How can I tell you what I don't know?
Start with telling me what you do know.
Okay, just give me a minute.
No.
Hey! Okay, what do I know? I know that Limehouse set this all up. I know that Quarles likes young boys. Who do you think called in the Brady Hughes tip? Me. I know that he wants you dead, and he probably wants me dead, too. And yes, I tried to blow him up in his car. And then I drove away. That's what I know.
That's it.
That is all I know.
You don't know where he is?
I don't know where he is.
Okay. I believe you.
Jesus Christ!
It's gold. Gold, Jerry.
That I can't see that guy that plays Wind Duffy without seeing him as the slutty guy from that Judd Hirsch show the 90s called Dear John.
Hey, Kirk. That's who plays that part. Hey, it's me, Kirk. I love that guy. He's fantastic. He's also a bad guy on Burn Notice, too. He's been rocking it as a bad guy on Burn Notice and Justified. He's
nice.
He's making a good living. And that's what I love about the show. This dialogue and the show is so funny. It always makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's darkly hilarious.
Jeremy Davies plays probably the greatest character on television.
He's such a spaz. Dickie Bennett is just the biggest spaz ever.
I saw one reviewer. I don't remember who it was. You know, I read recaps sometimes where they said, whoever does Dickie's hair deserves an Emmy. And I agree with him because his hair is so ridiculous.
It's like he just rolls out of bed.
Up and he's one of the most dim-witted characters who's like a mastermind in his own mind or something. And it's just so crazy. And Neil McDonough played a great bad guy this season. He seems well put together at the beginning of the season, and he spirals out of control by the end.
Oh, he becomes completely unhinged.
He's like doing... What was he... He had foil, and he was smoking, was it angel dust or something? I don't know.
I thought he crushed the OxyContin and was smoking it.
OxyContin, yeah. And he's just completely... And his fade at the end, I thought it was pretty good, that whole scene there at the end, where Raylan disarms him. Get it?
Yes. Right? Oh, literally disarms him. Yes, yes.
That was fantastic. But it's a fun show, and I'm trying to hide that I'm burping right now. So
I got gassy all of a sudden, too.
Now
I don't understand what's going on. I keep muting my mic because I'm burping like crazy.
It's just, it must have been something I ate this week or something.
Why aren't you always jamming meats in my mouth?
I don't. Okay, Bill, I need to ask you a question.
All right, ask away.
Would you like to do the news or DVDs, or do you just want to do DVDs?
Let's just do DVDs.
Okay. We're going to do DVDs. Maybe we'll be back to the news.
Well, next episode, I promise, we'll be back to the news. I'll have another week to let this pain subside.
Okay. Maybe we'll cover the whole Joe Esterhaus, Mel Gibson stuff next week.
Yeah, you know what? Hopefully... You know, since you mentioned it, hopefully, you know, Esterhaus was on the Today Show saying that he has video of Mel Gibson going apeshit in, like, the Bahamas or something. And supposedly his son was scared for their lives, so he took out the camera or the iPod and started recording Mel Gibson's rant. So now he's threatening video on Mel Gibson.
If Mel Gibson is drunk on the floor eating Wendy's, that's just it. I don't think I could handle it, Bill.
You know, I just love how he's such an easy target. It's everybody, you know, it's unbelievable that now, even now, because Joe Esterhaus's script was shit, and Warner Brothers chose not to continue with it. Now it's like, oh, well, I'll just attack Mel Gibson.
That's what it's like. I want to say this to Mel Gibson. Why Joe Esterhaus?
Yeah.
Why
what is, you know, off the top of your head, name one really, really faultless Joe Esterhaus.
Okay, we have
film.
Showgirls. We have Jade with Dave Caruso.
Yeah.
And Basic Instinct. Really? You want him right in your flick?
A film about the Maccabees?
And by the way, that was a long freaking time ago he wrote those. What the hell has he been doing since then?
Living in a trailer? Writing... I think he was on Coast to Coast AM a couple years ago.
Oh my God.
Honestly, that's how far Joe Esterhaus has gone. He's on Coast to Coast AM.
He's hammering out Showgirls.
Holy shit. But, I mean, I know that... All I know is this. Harry Knowles has already seen Mel Gibson's new movie before us.
Kill the Gringo or something?
Yeah, Get the Gringo.
Get the Gringo.
Harry saw it before us, and he says that it's good. So
it's his film.
It's his film. He produced
it. Yeah.
My film. I mean, Mel Gibson. I know it's mine. But he's in his basement right now jerking off to it. But, Bill, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
All right. Steven, we haven't done this in a while.
If I can remember the words.
All right, let's check it out. DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Woo! Oh, hell, Yizzle! The DVD Dizzles!
You totally don't ever use rubbers.
What? That's what you pick, Foggy? Jeez!
Get lost, dipshit.
Oh, that'll work. All right, Bill. Oh, this feels special, Bill. DVDs, Bill's back. Let's check it out. What do we got? Wow me. Dazzle me, Bill. Dazzle me. And are you there, Bill?
Yes, I'm there. I was burping up a storm. I'm sorry.
Just burp on the air.
Steven sounded particularly strong there. I think them BiPAP's working.
Yeah.
I got my bionic lungs going.
Lungs of a titan.
All right. So, and by the way, I love the True Lies. That was on Starz Preview HD Weekend.
Yeah,
God,
totally.
I love that movie.
And that's how I got that clip.
So good. And I don't even care. Like, I was reading on IMDb all, like, the little screw-ups and stuff. I don't even care. That movie's just so damn fun.
Totally. Yeah, again, remember what I was talking about last week, how people are like, oh, that movie made no money at the box office, so I'm not going to watch it. Hey, I have no idea how much True Lies made in the box office. I love it. I don't care how much it made.
It's easily one of my top five favorite films to just sit and watch.
Come on, it's got Arnold in it, back before he was a governor. And
he's funny in it. He's genuinely funny.
Yeah. I mean, James Cameron knew how to use him at that point, you know?
He knew exactly what to do with them, and Tom Arnold's great in
it. It's got a pre-Activia Jamie Lee Curtis in it.
Yeah, that's whenever she's... But you know what's really disturbing is I can't get that out of my mind now.
Activia.
Whenever I see her doing that strip tease, I'm like...
You've got the jingle in your head, don't you?
Yeah, I've got... this is the poop yogurt lady. The poop yogurt lady is writhing around.
Do it.
Slowly. No, do it. Do it, Samoa. I love whenever he goes, having the guy record the lines. He's like, who the hell wants this shit, Hattie?
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Take off your stockings.
I love when he's like,
you were a prostitute named Michelle.
Oh, we're going to hell. All right, Bill,
there's so many great Arnold lines in it. Like, do you love your husband? Like, it's just so funny.
Oh, there's one line he goes, who we got is Beavis and Butthead or something. It just doesn't come out right when Arnold says it.
No, that's what makes it even more funny.
Just looking at Beavis and Butthead.
Or whenever he takes the two dogs and smashes their heads together and it's obvious that they're rubber. Because it, like, bounces and they just...
That part was great, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole movie's great. I don't even care. The flubs, it's hilarious.
Awesome.
Love True Lies, and it's such a disappointment that we haven't had a new version of it. It really needs to be released on Blu-ray ASAP.
I know, that's crazy. All right, what's the first
I'm
going
to pause my microphone for 1 second, and then we'll get to DVDs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, let's start off with DVDs for Tuesday.
Oh, Bill.
I'm sorry. April 17th, 2012. I guess I didn't mute it. We're going to start off with, let's say, Buck Privates.
Buck Privates?
Yeah, it's an old Abbott and Costello film. Universal's reaching into their catalog and actually bringing a lot of classic humor, the classic monster movies, all that stuff, on Blu-ray, which is, I think, is cool. I've never seen it, but I like that they're doing this.
No, I didn't see it.
Part of their 100th anniversary collector series, which is very cool. And I love the Abbott and Costello movies, the ones that I've seen.
That's unacceptable.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Who is on first? I forget how that goes. I honestly forget how that goes.
That whore.
Excuse me?
That's not nice. Jeez.
Jeez, Arsenio.
Such language.
Are you effing kidding me?
All
this
right.
This is terrible. That's so mean. All right, moving on. We're going to go to, how about 8 is Enough, the complete first season on DVD.
With 8 is Enough, we fill our lives with love. Remember, that's not the creepiest theme song ever, just the way that guy sings it. And it disturbs me that Adam Rich is now doing that Man vs. Food show, Phil.
What?
Play on words there.
Oh, Adam Rich. Oh,
remember
yeah.
the guy Nicholas, the cutest guy in the United States. Everyone loved Nicholas. Huge drug fiend for years, right?
Yes.
In and out of rehab, dealing. I mean, come on. What the hell?
What the f*** happened?
Wasn't Willie Ames on it on 8 is Enough, too?
Yeah.
Yes. He had, like, that perfectly feathered hair.
Yes, Bible Man was on 8 is Enough.
Bible Man, yes.
But also, in the first episode, Luke Skywalker was on 8 is Enough.
And really?
He does, like, the guy in Happy Days where he just disappears, right?
Yes. Oh, Richie's brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was his name? And it was played by Fracker.
Yeah, Dan O'Herlihy.
Yeah.
His dad is the old man in RoboCop.
Yes, it is.
And he wants you to behave yourself!
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray, we have Frozen Planet, the BBC Discovery Channel show that I watched 2 episodes of. I really enjoyed, but I had to stop because Alec Baldwin's voiceover is freaking awful. It is he's monotonous, just completely uninteresting. I'm watching this thing going, will he just shut up? Just be quiet,
that
please.
That show is really cool. I want to talk about this. You know, it looks great in HD and all that, but all of a sudden, you got some cute stuff. You got penguins. It's
and
awesome.
You have death.
And then disturbing shit all of a sudden. And it's like, Emma, don't watch this. There was one where these two, what were those things? The walruses?
I knew exactly what you were going to say.
Tusks,
yeah,
and they're just
lion seals.
They're taking turns going back and forth, hitting each other with their teeth. Just, gah, gee, there's blood everywhere. And I'm like, dude, what the hell, Discovery Channel?
But then there's
show
this,
my daughter this.
I think the second most disturbing thing was the penguins keeping the babies warm for the winter until the moms come back to feed them. And then during the egg transfer or the baby transfer, if the egg gets too cold or if the baby dies, the mom will go searching for a new baby, and any babies that lose their way,
yes,
they get gang
yeah,
jumped by all these other mothers that had lost their children or didn't have them.
And they kill it.
Yeah, they kill
it.
They smother a baby penguin.
It's the saddest shit ever, and I'm not going to let my daughter watch it. I'm sorry.
No, this is not for
kids.
It's tough. This is an adult series. None of these. I mean, I wouldn't let her watch any of those, the Planet Earth or any.
Yeah, she's like, Daddy, I'm going to watch Planet Earth. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, no, no, wait. She said, I'm going to watch Frozen Planet. And I said, okay. And then I turned and I went, no! And I, like, run in there. No, you know, watch Monster Man. You can watch that.
Yeah. Scar her for life, the story of the mom and the two polar bear cubs looking for food.
Yeah, it's just sad.
F loser.
What'd you call me, Lou?
But I bought Frozen Planet on Blu-ray because I wanted to watch it with the original David Attenborough voiceover, not the sleep-inducing Alec Baldwin one.
And do you remember what I said on Facebook?
Yeah!
That guy's a dick! He made Jurassic Park! He was playing God!
Like, and I said, no, that's his brother Richard. And you're like, oh, David ran Site B!
I just felt, like, so small when I realized the mistake I made.
I remember
I'm Naval Lint!
I thought
the missing brother is Chuck.
Chuck,
that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chuck
was
the brother on
Happy Days.
Oh, and I know how huge of a fan you are of Ice Road Truckers. So why not pick up the complete season 5?
Awesome. I love ice. That's the main thing, you know, cracking in my teeth and stuff. So
That's what's cool.
Oh, it's only natural. Well, to really enjoy Ice Road Truckers.
What is that road called in the Ice Road Truckers? Remember, didn't Jesse James cover it in his show that time?
Yes.
Do you guys remember that?
I do. But I can't reference it.
It's a lake, isn't it?
Well, it's an ocean.
Yeah.
That they drive over.
And they ride on it like, or the Ice Road Truckers. They do it like every year, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And do you know what will happen if you fall in that water, by the way?
Freezing the outer layers of his skin.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it'll hurt.
All right, next on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Drop below 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh.
Well, this film's actually pretty hot.
I loved Ghost Protocol. I thought it was a lot of fun. I dug it, man. It was well
done. I hated that I couldn't see it in IMAX.
Dude, check it out on Blu-ray. It's going to be beautiful. That's all one right. thing you're going to know. And it was just well done, man. I thought it was better than Mission Impossible 3, which I thought was the best of the three.
Yeah, it was. J.J. Abrams did a great job with that.
But I thought this one was even better and a cool plot and everything.
That's unbelievable.
I thought it was really interesting that Brad Bird chose to stay with the 2.35:1 scope ratio for the film release on Blu-ray instead of doing what Christopher Nolan did, where he would expand the screen for the IMAX scenes.
Right.
So I guess Brad Bird just wanted it standard across the board and said if people request it, maybe they'll do it.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of thing that maybe it's cool, like when you see it in the theater on that IMAX, but I don't mind if it
doesn't. I don't
know.
I can see a definite, you know, clarity to the IMAX scenes, especially on the Dark Knight Blu-ray.
Sometimes it's hard for me to notice that. I'm like, oh wait, there's bars right there. You know, you notice it for a second. Yeah, check it out. I loved it. Thought it was good.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't get to see it on the big screen. Next Blu-ray is the second film from director Steve McQueen and Michael Fassbender called Shame. Now, the first film they did is Hunger, and that movie is incredible. The acting that Michael Fassbender pulls off in that thing is stunning.
That's about the guy in prison who starves himself?
Yeah, it's about the Irish guy, Bobby something or other. I'm sorry, I'm blanking. But the film itself, it's like a masterclass of acting, that film. It's incredible. And I've heard good. Either you like this film or you hate this film. Shame. I've heard a lot of pro and a lot of con.
Damn shame.
But it has Carey Mulligan in it, who I find absolutely freaking adorable. And she was in Drive also, another great film.
Whenever she plays golf, she always gets a do-over. It's not fair.
Nice.
Shameful.
Where's the rim shot on that one?
What does John Jansen think about Shame?
I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know.
Totally just threw the show off the rails there. Oh, my God. Gee whiz.
All right, next we have...
what the hell happened?
I'm just moving on. That
rips my face off.
Next we're having Tremé, the second season on Blu-ray.
Tremé!
I'm calling it Treem.
You guys know that I love Tremé. Woohoo! Best theme song on TV. Down in the Tremé, see sweet little sachet. Yeah, I love Tremé. It's a great show, and something tragic is always mixed in with the funniness and the quirkiness, and it totally like knocks you on your ass, and it drives me nuts. There's a character who died last season. Is like taking the sweetest guy in the world, like Harry Knowles, and shooting him in the head. And it's just so sad, Bill.
Oh, was it the John Goodman character?
No.
Oh.
That's the first season.
Well, you brought up, you know, Harry Knowles. large men. I don't know.
John Goodman does not have a neck beard.
No, he doesn't.
Cool.
All right, and I think that's it. I'm looking at the list. That's it.
Jesus Christ!
I'm sorry.
That's it?
Unless, you want to get some, repackaged crap.
Jesus, stop it!
I'm done. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ!
I feel like I'm in church.
It seems simple enough.
That guy's a genius.
He is.
Well, Bill, thank you for doing DVDs this week.
Thank you. And I promise I will get back to the news next week.
Awesome. Fantastic.
And hopefully by this time next week, I will no longer have abdomen pain. Because it's really getting so. Old. Yes. Really old.
I'm hoping that for you.
I wish they would have just put a new, when I was talking on the last episode, how that nerve block thing they put in after surgery with the little ball of lidocaine. I wish they just would have refilled it and gave it to me, because this is misery. I'm glad I did the surgery. It's really strange adapting. I got to tell you that much. It's only have about as much as an egg, like a single large egg.
Right. An ostrich egg would be too much.
No, that would be too much. I think that's the size of a normal stomach. A chicken egg.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're full, you know it. It's really strange. You got to eat slow, and you have to eat very, very small bites.
Do you? I know that Heather's mom had a similar thing. I don't know if it's the exact same thing.
You said that she had the band, and then it kept slipping, so they did a Roux-en-Y, right?
I don't know if that's what's called the bypass.
Okay. Yeah, if it's a gastric bypass, it's most likely a Roux-en-Y.
But she'll eat and then have the burps,
Yeah, that's what I've just noticed.
And it's funny because, we don't think it's any big deal. We're used to it now, but in restaurants, it's funny because she burps out loud and she can't help it, you know?
No, you can't. It's really strange because you have this little stomach and you're wondering, where is all this gas coming from?
Yeah, but I mean, if another patron there at the Willie Deagle's gets upset, it's just hey, you got to live with this.
Yeah, I've got to figure out how to do it kind of clandestinely. Mm-hmm. But it's not just burps, it's belches.
Yeah.
It's and it's repeated. It's very strange.
Now, Bill, I want you to sit still and I'm going to phonically heal you. Okay. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just relax.
I think I just pooped myself. Is that the brown noise?
Yes, that's what that was. So, that was the wrong sound. That's the one that helps you clear out your.
Damn you. Now I've got to clean myself up.
Sorry about that.
Or clean a toilet bowl.
Release the Kraken.
Goddamn, dude.
And while you're in there, maybe write something on the wall, Bill.
And why are we standing here in a toilet?
A toilet bowl cake?
No, buddy. Not a toilet bowl cake. All right, Bill, thanks for the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
I had a mental breakdown.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay.
Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Cameron was in Egypt's land. Let my Cameron go.
Jesus Christ!
All right, that was episode 255 of the Nowhere in Mulberry Show. And something I forgot to mention earlier, guys, is I've been uploading to Mulberry Old School. It's now up to 120. Goes up to 120. And actually, I've done up to 130, but I haven't put the URLs yet. So in the next couple of days, I'm going to keep on putting those up there, guys. The whole
catalog
library. Well, I was going to until Jansen hacked into the site, Bill.
Block him out. I had to reroute the subsystems.
Yeah, unfortunately, now it's all just Smallville podcasts.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I was just shocked. I was like, what is this?
And I hate to tell – I don't know if Andy knows this, Bill, but Jansen is already on a new podcast. He's on the House of L podcast now. He's now joined that. He's the new co-host.
You know what? I wouldn't
show.
Put it past him.
He's the mediator now.
Yeah.
He loves him some Smallville.
Yeah. So it's kind of shocking. All I know is this.
America!
I love that guy.
And apparently everyone on the House of L only plays chess. So they have a lot in common.
We all know that the real true game you play from Lost is backgammon. Backgammon, bitch! My game's Parcheesi. Always bet on black. I think I'm just mixing up things here. I don't know.
My game's Uno. I'm gonna deal you a +4 wild card, bitch.
I'm so confused. By the way, in that Will Wheaton thing where he plays board games, it's the most confusing directions to a game I've ever seen.
It's as contrived as he is.
It is so complicated. I don't understand any of it. He goes, you know, he does it kind of like those poker shows where it explains, like, this is what a royal flush is, right? He's talking about, and then you get this piece of land, and you could steal from this guy, and then you get these extra dots, and you put those on here, and then he could steal, and then you go over here, and then you jump upside down and do a flip. And it's like, what? I don't know. But guys.
Yeah, you know, I remember when Will Wheaton had his poker stage. On his blog, where all he did was talk about poker.
Right, right, right.
And now I guess it's board games.
I think the guy can be interesting, but also he has that air of douchiness. You know?
Yeah, it's
because I'm
so
I'm a fan of Stand By Me. It's hard to like let that go. I love Stand By Me. You know,
that's not Will Wheaton though. That's he's
King,
different.
Isn't it? That's Stephen King and Rob Reiner, isn't it?
No, I mean the actor. You know, he's still a kid. He hasn't quite developed the assholishness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. Now, guys, go to noraandmulberry.com. There you'll find links to all of our shows. Join our Facebook fan club. They love us there. I just go there for praise. I love it. And Steven's not allowed. He's been banned.
Yeah.
But also,
hack into the subsystem.
Oh, damn it. Steven's already hacked in. Also, go to nimforum.com. There's a link to the forum there on the site.
I'm hacking that one next.
Oh, shit. He's like the black guy in Die Hard. But also, if you want to join our forum, there's the Mulberry Old School there. You can listen to all of our old shows throughout
the
year.
I'm deleting
the first one.
Oh, no. The quarterback is toast.
And send us a voicemail at 1-206-202-1298. That's our voicemail, guys, and it rocks because Sean sent us a voicemail there. Adam did. Zach did. Mike recorded his own. It's the worst audio I've ever heard, but he explained to us why.
I did like the update. That was quite possibly the most irritating thing I've ever heard.
Mike, I love you. You have great... I love your voice. You're always worried about your voice. It sounds fantastic. That sound was the most irritating sound I've ever heard in my life, though. I came close to suicide during your voicemail.
I'm glad you don't own a gun.
Steven, was I not wrapping the cord to my headset around my neck? And I just couldn't pull it tight enough. That's the problem. But everyone send your voicemails, and then it'll rock on, Brothers Row. And you know what? Tonight we had like a huge gathering of listeners in the nimchat.com, Bill. People listening.
We did. We really did. We had over 10 of them for a while. That's big numbers.
We've got Andy Sims in there from the now defunct Hollywood Saloon.
What happened? I thought that show was great. What happened to that show?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Oh. Is that the sound that is played when John Jansen walks into a room?
No, I know that, okay, John Jansen stole Andy's car.
John Hansen?
Yes. He also stole the Hollywood Saloon, and he tried to murder Andy. He tried to stab him.
I think he also took his children.
He's in jail right now, guys.
He took his wallet.
He's on death row. But I also want to know, will they maybe make up and do another show? Come on.
Just one more.
Come on. I know he's attempted murder. I mean, oh, my God. Andy, you need to call in real quick. We didn't talk about this.
John Jansen killed the family dog, and yet they're still going to do a new show. But
can't you guys still make up? It's just people are holding on. They got to cut the cord. It's not going to happen anymore. I don't think Andy's listening anymore. But Andy, Team Andy right here, guys. Are we for Andy? Or
team
are we
Andy.
Team Jansen or Team Andy? I know
he's. I'm Team Edward, but I can be Team Andy, too.
Or Team Jacob. You team like Jacob. Werewolf Steven.
Yeah.
Those are giant wolves, though.
They're scary.
Can you imagine the shits those giant wolves take? I mean, serious.
Is that something you really want to think about?
Why isn't Bella running through wolf shit in those movies? She would be. It would be everywhere. There'd be wolf shit all over the place.
Wolf shit.
No, it's on Skype, Andy. On the Skype. You know, I don't know why I just typed that. You can hear me. Here, I'll call you, Andy. Yeah, Team Jake. But, I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever thought that before. Here, Andy, I'm going to call you. Hold on, Bill. Oh, I like the way it did that. It's
the way it splits the screen.
It lets me add to conference while I'm dialing it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm calling you on your phone, Andy. That's you don't need to be on Skype. Just answer your phone. Answer your phone, Andy. I am calling you. I'm calling you right now. I'm calling you, Andy.
I think John hijacked his phone, too.
Did we just get digitally dithered?
La 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 la.
Facts! Yeah!
Facts.
What was that? That sound? Was that his voicemail?
It's been faxed.
Oh, Andy, maybe that I have just an old number. Okay, what the hell? How do I hang up on this? There we go.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, Andy's like, that's not me.
Okay, give me your new number, Andy. How would he do that? Can he secret message me, Bill? In the chat room?
No, I think he would just message you on MSN, right?
All
right.
All right, thanks, Andy. You're a little delayed there. That's the fax line. Why do you have a fax line? Who has a fax?
It's just the fax, man.
Who still has fax?
See me get out of here right now.
Just the fax.
Just the fax, ma'am.
You butthead.
It made you giggle.
What is wrong with you? Jesus, stop it!
I'll try.
Oh, okay. I got it now. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
Steven, you and Bill have a conversation right now.
Hey, hi,
you know,
Steven.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Are you tired?
No, I'm actually very good. Thanks.
Oh, that's excellent.
They bumped
up
my pressure again today.
You've got your new pressure, low pressure?
Higher.
1822?
Yes, sir.
It's the worst.
Ah, we share a pressure now.
Yeah, I have
oh,
11 attacks
tires.
An hour now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they bumped me up to try and stop it.
And, you know, you gotta... I hate the headgear, because whenever it's real tight, it'll dig into the back of your neck. So I use, like a soft cloth, not terry cloth, because that'll hurt even more. But just something soft and put it behind your neck and then put the headgear around your neck. Mm-hmm. And that helps a lot.
Mine is the mask kind of like overnight.
No.
A few hours in, you know, it starts to lose the grip on my face or
yeah,
sweat
well,
or whatever.
The elasticity of the headgear starts to stretch out.
And then I get the leaks.
No,
yeah.
You goddamn
yeah,
piece
and I was
of...
like, I wasn't overly concerned about the swallowing air, but he's like, yeah, it's normal and it's probably going to get worse now that he up my pressure.
I never had that problem.
Well, I was a mouth breather.
I still tend to be a nose breather, but I have to have the full mask because with the nose mask, if I open my mouth, the air just goes right through my nose and out my mouth.
Yeah,
I can't breathe with it.
Yeah, he was saying if I keep having the attacks, then I'll go do the ENT and see if I gotta do a little surgery, little snips.
All right, I know what I need to do. Keep talking, guys. Take this is gold.
We're talking CPAP.
This is radio gold, you guys.
We don't care about anyone else. We're just talking about our well-being.
Should I put a 1 in front of his number, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, you guys keep talking. So dead one air,
more month,
air.
We'll see how it happens. See what happens in a month. Go back and check it out.
I don't know how much longer I'm going to have to use the mask. That's what's cool about the weight loss surgery.
Well, that's my next plan is to, you know, I need to shed about 40 pounds.
What's that ringing?
Good morning.
Hey everybody.
Sir.
It's Andy.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
It's not a tumor.
Andy. It's not a tumor.
How's it going, Andy?
Very well, my nim friend. How are you?
It's been at least 5 years since you've been on the Nowhere in Mulberry program.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. It's been
That's
a long
incredible.
Time. It's been a it long
time. It feels
like
it.
Now,
it's
is
been
it,
a while.
It's true that you haven't been on the show because Jansen forbade it. Is that right? Correct.
He was not pleased with public appearances, exactly.
So no car shows, no mall openings at all. They were off limits?
Yeah.
No signings.
Yeah, I had to cut down on the public, the bookstore signings and such.
But he lets Randy do whatever he wants, though, so it's not fair. How is that even fair?
I cannot mention John Jansen's name in public, or his likeness, or his facsimile.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm getting you in
trouble. Will be held against me in a court of law.
Well, how about we...
No shit. Did
so
he
say we all.
Cease and desist?
Cease and desist. All public speaking or facsimile or... God. Oh, it's been fun.
What a massive...
Why don't we use a code word then?
Y'all hear that? We're using code names.
Okay, douche nozzle. We'll use that instead. How's that? Does that work?
Yeah. Long Johnson.
I get it. That's awesome. Now, how's it going? You hanging in there, Andy?
Yes, and I'm hanging in there. Thanks to guys, you guys especially, some other guys. Man, people have been extremely supportive. This is a long time coming. I mean, obviously, come on. You don't go 6 months without putting the show out without somebody saying, what is wrong with this picture? So, you know, in the long run, this is for the better. I'm free. I don't have to deal with, you know, acting like, you know, like not saying anything when he mentioned Smallville again. You know what I mean? Right. Just like kind of let it pass. Ugh.
Or it's kind of like, so, it's kind
of
like
fun of it.
A Led Zeppelin album, Andy. Kind of like, how many times can you use that same example, Andy? That's what I want to know.
Unlimited, apparently.
Yeah, apparently many times. It's like a record album. The way it's different songs. You know, each is its own individual track, but it all kind of forms together in its own coherent theme. Okay,
it tells a story.
Long Johnson.
Yes. Now, Andy, let me ask you this. Just an update for people who don't understand. The Hollywood Saloon is no more. Correct.
The Hollywood Saloon is no more and never shall be again. You're a little bit when you were saying. Well, they had this terrible fight, but maybe they'll still get together. Okay, that was gold because you've been watching the forum. I mean, well, not the forum, the Facebook page, and seeing this thing as it spills across.
Yeah, that was our second time we got into it. You got to listen to the beginning of the show because that went on for about 30 minutes.
Oh, it's a long time coming. You guys have heard more of it than many people have over the years.
Right.
And Yeah, I just, you know, I feel like Mel Gibson now. You know what I mean? At the end of, you know, when he's getting his guts yanked out.
It's so funny.
You feel anti-Semitic?
When you say Mel Gibson, you have no idea where you're going with that. It's so funny. I had no idea you were going Braveheart. I was thinking,
I'm so confused by Mel Gibson now. Where's he going with this? Could mean anything.
It's Mel Gibson at the end of The Beaver. No.
Oh, my God. The world's most depressing film.
The Beaver. Wow.
I watched that thing thinking, this will be good. He's going to, you know, this will be a good role for him. Holy shit. Just one of those movies I wanted to kill myself after it.
Wow. The puppet made him better.
No, I haven't seen that guy, so spoiler alert there. I didn't know there was a puppet involved.
Rock alert.
No, I'm kidding. I knew there was.
Brock alert.
I forgot all about the Brock alert.
Oldie but a goodie.
You know, there's a lot of rich history between Miller and Mulberry in the Hollywood Saloon. Wouldn't you say, Andy? A lot of it is unspoken, though. It's just between the shows, kind of like in, you know, the spackle in between. But
we were kind of the first. Well, I mean, the first within, you know, there's a lot of shows that have grown around what we've been doing, but we were like, you and I hooked up, God, early on, like a month after we started our shows and such.
Right.
And you've done 250 and I've done 40. So, you know,
that is a little low.
Wow. A little discrepancy there.
Wait.
You're not counting like your sibs and stuff, though, are you?
No.
And you're not counting the forum freebies either.
No forum freebies.
Oh, that's another thing. I always wondered why wouldn't you put those on your main feed on iTunes? And that's all a genius.
Can you guess the hours I spend in Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, but people, you need to say that, Andy. People don't know the reason. You know, people would bitch about it. Why can't you make these available on iTunes? It's because John Jansen didn't want it on the feed. Am I right?
Ugh.
You can free yourself now. Tell
the person. Yeah, the person who says no usually wins, and I let it slide for a while. Here's one thing I can promise: on any new show that I create, every single piece will be on the feed. It will never be a there's something else off the feed. That's one of the first rules that I'll just completely put to bed. Even if I do a Sibs-type show,
it will all be on the feed. And it made no sense at all. And the reasoning was because one day we might have ads that people can click on if you go there.
Right. But then no one ever called to get ads, you know?
No way. This is the first I'm hearing of this. Right? You're serious?
It's preposterous.
God, I could go on for hours.
This is absurdity.
It is absurdity. And I
don't know. I honestly don't know how Andy dealt with the madness for so long. And it's like he said, you know, the person that says no normally wins. And you can only deal with it for so long and you have to throw your hands up. So this is a long time coming.
It's a long time coming. And I really wish that I could say I wish him the best. And I wanted to go on and do his own thing. But, you know, the way that it ended up, and I probably shouldn't just, you know, air it all out here. It's not worth it to do it. But it's just, it got ugly, and a lot of saloon listeners were asking, well, I hope the friendship stays together. That's more important. But it's like, look, guys, just, you know, maybe 20 years from now, someone will trick us to get back together, and we'll be in the same room. You know what I mean? I don't see that happening. It's time to move forward, move on. I've got ideas stacked up so high of things that I never did in the 6-7 years we've been doing this.
Right.
That one of the first things I want to do is go and grab some of those ideas and put them into play and you know, see what happens. Because, God, it's just, you can only be held back so long. And again, some people might think, well, why didn't you force some of that stuff out? Well, because I was trying to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
Like any kind of broken relationship, you know, like with a girl or something, you're trying so hard to make it work.
Yeah, you were playing, and you're doing the, like, okay, I'll do this for you, now we do this show for me, right?
Well, I mean, he condescended sometimes or came down off his hilltop sometimes to record something like a Thor show that I wanted to do, you know?
You mean something people would actually listen to?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking
about? Yeah. Oh.
Can I tell you, the show that I still don't understand is the fan edit show, Andy.
Oh, don't get me started. He had two more of those planned, and
oh my god,
I was supposed to watch about 50 fan edits.
It was the biggest
before I did it, and I never could do it because I mean, really, honestly, I mean, here's my flat out answer, and I didn't do this in the first show. I despise fan edits. I hate them. I hate them like I hate Rosie O'Donnell. I hate them, you know, like I hate, you know, cancer. You know, I don't like them. I think they're the utmost of an insult to the person who created the film.
Isn't it now, a guy just editing on his computer? You know, it's fan fiction, right?
It's exactly what it is. And here's my suggestion. If you are a filmmaker, and I'm not just talking to John here, I'm talking to anybody, go make your own film. Go shoot your little nephew running around and make a story out of it. That would be hold something far more interesting and better for you than to take someone's footage from a film and re-edit it and then say, look, I'm a better editor than George Lucas. No, you're not. You're not. Okay? Go film something. Yeah, I hate it. I know some people like them. That's fine. They can like them. I'm not any smarter than they are. I just personally, I think it's an insult, you know, when people think that they can edit, you know, the Godfather series better than Francis Coppola. It's like, you can't, and you won't, because he authored that. So,
maybe the
oh, my God.
One. I don't know. Maybe the third one. Godfather 3?
Can you really salvage the third one with a fan edit? Honestly?
If you cut out Winona Ryder. No, wait. She wasn't in it. I meant...
Yeah, you got a CGI, you know.
Sofia Coppola.
Right. Now, hey, guys, Emma wants to be on the show, and I can't hold her back anymore. I got to have her on the show to say hi to everybody. Is that cool?
Awesome. Absolutely.
All right. Let me I'm going to hook Emma up. Here, I'm doing engineering right now. Really foggy should be
doing. Nice.
Okay, there's going to be a little crackle
foggy
here.
Slacking.
Okay. That is what we call a voice input there. All right. Emma, are you on live?
Yes.
Wait. Say hello.
There she is. Hey, sweetie.
Hi.
You know who this
is? Hi.
This is Andy.
Hi, honey. I heard that you're a big Xbox player now.
Really? Thanks.
Yeah, you play the Kinect, right?
Right.
Yeah. I heard your daddy wants to get hit at Star Wars and do the Han Solo dance.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do the Boba Fett.
I want to do that dance.
You know, everyone's knocking that game, but that's awesome. I've always wanted to dance in a cantina with Han Solo.
Well, did you see the video like Lando walks in like, hey, I'm here, let's start the party.
And then the malt liquor bowl blows through the wall.
Yes.
We're totally going to get Star Wars Kinect, right?
Emma? Oh, it looks so goofy that I can't resist it.
Yeah, it does. It looks so goofy. You got to get it.
So is John,
oh man! Well, my daughter likes Emma. My daughter likes to play the Cookie Monster game that you play.
Really?
Yeah, she loves it.
Once Upon a Monster, right?
Oh yeah!
It's awesome.
Once Upon a Monster.
I've seen many hours of that, and sometimes you might hear me kind of going, "Yeah, this has been on for 4 hours straight."
Yeah, 4 hours.
But Emma enjoys playing it. That's what it's all about. And you know what is really cool about the Kinect? I know it's may sound cheesy, but they really do get exercise playing it.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Not actually, you're going to put me in the hospital after playing that.
I know.
I played Disneyland Kinect, and I could barely move the next day. Let's just say that.
Oh,
yeah, what I used for exercise before my surgery was Fruit Ninja Kinect.
Oh no!
My shoulders, my oh my god!
It is awesome exercise.
You can use your feet too.
And I wonder if like Danny
Emma,
saw
I'm too
in the
fat
Karate
to lift
Kid.
My feet up that high.
Don't you wonder if like in the Karate Kid they're like, oh my god, I actually know karate now from playing this for hours. Like wax on, wax off all of a sudden.
No, it's like Neo. Whoa, I know karate.
I know Fruit Ninja.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like, well, that's not really helpful in the real world. Ah, damn, I've been wasting my time.
I hate those bombs.
Sorry, Emma, I said a bad word there. Don't tell Mama, okay?
I didn't hear it.
Okay, good. See, earmuffs. Say whatever you want.
Well, I think Emma's ready for her own podcast. I think she can do it.
We actually did the Emma Book Show last week after the show, and she did great.
Oh, I got to hear that.
The Emma Book Show.
Is Courtney close to the podcasting yet?
It's the sister show of Nowhere in Mulberry, guys.
It's
Emma's Book Show.
No, Courtney's not allowed to podcast when John Jansen's there. Yeah, he wouldn't allow.
No guests. Only Randall.
He
wouldn't allow.
Andy,
yeah.
What is this? I heard you did another podcast. Yeah, with my daughter, a-hole. You have a problem with that? Actually, I do. Oh, okay.
You're taking time away from.
She's ruining
your
our
dungeon.
Brand.
You should be watching fan edits.
I'm trying to teach people about film, Andy. What are you doing over there? Wasting time.
with your child.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, you telling me there's some kind of bonding going on? Yeah, exactly.
In fact, Andy, I want you to do a fan edit.
Yeah, I want you to do a fan edit of the Hollywood Saloon, My Greatest Hits. So, wait, how do I do that?
Make sure you cut out all your own voice.
Yeah, no Andy in the show at all.
Audio ambient.
Steven, I thought you were using the CPAP. Why are you asleep? It doesn't work.
It doesn't work in this.
I can't resist it. All right.
It's been great having you on the show again, Andy, and I want to catch up with you more later. But
absolutely, friends. It's good to talk to you guys.
We got to be you've been away for too long, sir.
Too long coming back, and nothing holds me back. Everything's new, and I'll come back on when I can announce, you know, I'll world premiere my announcement for my next gig on Mulberry if you guys will have me. And
sweet. Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Absolutely.
Cool. Absolutely. Cool. Thank you, guys.
And your first guest will be Harry Knowles. Well, Andy,
exactly.
I've been podcasting for years. It's called a tape recorder. No one's heard it, but I've been doing it in my dad's basement.
On this Fisher Price recorder.
I got 40,000.
Those new shows, man. Oh, those new shows that you made.
So
oh, God. Oh.
You know what I thought?
I honestly feel like sitting there watching it like he's talking to me like I'm a child.
Yeah, he's talking so condescending.
Yeah. That's what he is, man. That's the way he. It sounds like he's making it up as he goes. You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
I don't see, but good Lord, he's got some production value on those shows. I can't imagine, it's like visual effects and everything. It's like, wow.
I'm sure Robert Rodriguez or Guillermo del Toro hooked him up or something.
Yeah. The Andy Cool Show directed by Guillermo del Toro. Visual effects by what?
Yeah. No, by Los Robert? Hooligans or whatever Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rodriguez is right up to the side, you know, strumming on his guitar, you know. Drum, drum, drum. Oh.
Good times. All right, guys, I think we should wrap it up now. It's been a long show. Emma needs to get in bed. So let's wrap it up. Andy, thank you for being on Nowhere Mulberry, episode 255.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'm seriously going to check
Andy.
And see when the last time you've been on the show was. Adam might
too
be
long.
One of our historians.
Do characters count?
What do you
yes.
think? That's all secret, Bill. We're never going to
reveal
any of that.
Sorry.
What characters does Andy do? None. No, none at all.
None.
I'm confused.
Oh, Andy,
just
you're
himself.
Confusing Andy with Antibert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Antibert did all the characters on our show.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
He did, like, Billy Mumy impressions, and Robbie Wrist, and stuff like that. Now, Emma, what do you want to say to all the listeners out there?
Yay!
Say thanks for listening. Say thanks for listening to my daddy. I love him so much. Oh, I can't feed you with this. Come on. I'm leading the witness.
Yay, people.
Yay, people. That's
yay,
good.
Yay, people. In
yay, people.
Yes.
Now on Broadway.
Say have a good weekend. No, she doesn't want to. You can't direct her. She's difficult, you know?
She's a diva.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time on Nora Mulberry. I got nothing. Let's just end the show.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Go ahead.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Get lost, dipshit.
Weep for the future.
Now this is podcasting.
Why aren't you always jamming meats in my mouth?
Are you effing kidding me?
Sweet meats in my mouth?
Really?
Damn it, woman.
There's going to be a problem.
I would throw her right through that wall.
This would be a hoot.
Effing loser.
That was up.
Touch me, I yell rat.
Nothing says badass like a flying rat.
These guys are crazy.
Well, that's big stuff.
What is wrong with you?
Bitch, treat me like...
Really?
It seems simple enough.
I totally don't ever use rubbers.
I got a little dick. It's pathetic. Jesus Christ! Oh, God, oh, please. What is wrong with you?
This is embarrassing for the business.